gamers, and welcome to episode 304 of the Super Ultra Podcast Arcade. I'm your host, Daniel Nicholson, and with me is my co-host, Dominic Stallworth. What's going on this week, Dominic?
What's going on is that we got some over here fall weather. We had a storm, at least south from us. I know my friend went through it a little earlier in North Carolina. He says power went out for a while, but came back on. And but other than that, you know, it was like real rainy up here for like 2 days of the week. It was like dark. It was like dark as hell. I was like, oh God, I woke up thinking like, man, I was still up early. I say, damn, I'll go back to sleep. And I wake up at like 12. I'm like, oh shit, I missed a day. But fall, it's getting cooler now. We were just getting lucky with those warmer days, man, for a few weeks. And it's nice we're going to be in, like, the 50s now, which it's all right. 50s is okay, but it's cold mornings. Yeah. It's cold. Yeah, it's cold mornings and nights. But, yeah, but other than that, you know, Thanksgiving's almost here. Thanksgiving's around the corner. And the big news is that they are out, people. The systems are officially out.
Yeah, they are.
And people got their hands on them all around. I don't know anybody.
Yeah. It kind of doesn't feel real to me because, like, I don't have one. I don't really know anybody that has one. Like, I also haven't really been in a store to see, you know, displays and stuff, like game cases even, so.
You know what? Yeah, because I want to try it out. I want to, especially the PlayStation one. I haven't looked online to see, like, a kiosk, but I'm hoping they still do that. Yeah. Or is it COVID? Is it a COVID situation here that you can't do that? I don't know.
I wonder, yeah. Somebody get in there with some Clorox wipes after every player.
Yeah,
they needed to do that to begin with, though, Dominic. I mean, you saw those kids be going in there playing with that shit.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how COVID happened, Dominic. It wasn't some shit in China.
That's how I got
herpes. Kids playing on kiosks.
That's how I got herpes. What's happened? People got their hands on. I was watching people play their games, play on both systems, having a good time. Just feeling jealous and just yelling at the TV, like, you bastards, you lucky bastards. But just seeing how those games run, I seen, like, man, these runs pretty good. I mean, I can't really see how good the graphics are through, you know, my TV to see what they have. But I can tell it looks better.
You look at the video and you're like, ooh, this is sharp. It looks very sharp.
Yeah, compared to what I play. Yeah, I can tell, like, okay, this is definitely looks better than what it, like, when you see the older games play. And you see some newer games, so yeah, this looks really good. And also how fast they load up. I said, that's definitely a game changer.
Yeah.
That's a huge deal. Now, I don't know how the PlayStation 5 controller feels, but from what I heard, it's pretty good. And with the haptic feedback on it, I mean, and things of that nature, and their stress
the stuff
triggers.
I really want to see.
So it's. I wonder how developers are going to come to that. Like, not just me and first party. I know they are, initially, but will they keep going as the generation goes on?
Right.
Will they keep using that feature, and will they cause Microsoft to be like, hey, maybe we need to bring out some controllers that have that feature too, also.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see that maybe waiting until, like, because if what it seems like that Microsoft would be more inclined to do like a half step or just like even, I don't want to say a yearly thing, maybe like an every other year type thing where they just increase the power a little bit and give you some new features or something that's not necessarily, you know, available on like the Xbox One now. You know, I could see them being like, hey, and now we got a controller like that that does those things.
Yeah. So what else is happening around the world? We still have – well, we might have a new president, though. the current one is still fighting it.
The media has told us we have a new president.
Yes, the media, the fake news media has told us that. Even the news that was pretty good for the current president, even spoke against him. They spoke against him. They said a state one when I guess he didn't want them to say it yet.
Yeah, they were the first ones to call Arizona, and apparently he was not happy about that.
Yeah, he was not happy. He's going to start his Trump media. It's like, I'm going to take over. It's going to be bigger than Fox. It's going to be bigger than everything.
I mean, he's already started that, though. And I guess maybe part of it's their fault for actually seemingly telling the truth for once. I don't know. But, like, you know, he's going to grab the people. Like, I could see him picking off, like, a Sean Hannity or a Tucker Carlson or a Jesse Waters or whatever. And, you know, having them be premier guys on his team. And then, like, all those other guys, like Chris Wallace, who's actually seemingly willing to say something against him, you know, leave him on Fox News and just basically annihilate Fox News, you know?
And he needs to get Candace Owens. He needs to get Candace Owens irrelevant.
I guess. You know, for the younger kids, you know, get her, get
that's about
know,
to say, like yeah.
Tommy
and,
Lahren
you know, you
or
need
something.
Her up there before they can say, we're not racist.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure they can find somebody. They'll get, there's that guy on Twitter that's always, like, wearing a MAGA hat yelling about, like, how Donald Trump's doing all this stuff for the black people. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess somebody say, hey, we're not racist. We got this black guy. Yep. Exactly. Or black girl. Black gal.
Latinos for yeah, Trump.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So let's get right down to it. What we've been watching. So I'll start with mine first. I don't even watch it. So Perry Mason, I think I said it last week. I finished mm-hmm. watching the series, the new series. So I was like, you know what? I want to watch the old show. Never watched it before.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I went and looked it up, Perry Mason, 1957.
Good Lord.
And watched the first two episodes of it. And it's all right. I mean, it's an okay lawyer show. I mean, I like lawyer shows. I like Matlock. and I also like The Practice. I like Boston Legal.
Yeah.
I like Goliath, the new show on Amazon, which I don't even know what's coming back anymore, but it had three seasons.
Is that the one with Billy Bob Thornton? That's him, yes. Right? Okay.
Yeah, because it's the same guy who did David Kelly did that show. Oh, so okay. Same guy who did The Practice in Boston Legal. So Perry Mason, it's like, I guess it's like one of the foundations of lawyer shows, and it's one of the bigger ones because it lasted for quite a while, almost, 10 seasons or something like that.
Oh, wow. But, okay.
So, I mean, it's still, I mean, you know, it's a 50s show, so it still has an old-timey kind of way of dialogue and things of that nature. Like, mm-hmm. I always look at those shows like how people are really over-dramatic. Like, because at all those old shows, they seem very over dramatic.
He's acting for the stage.
Yeah, exactly. But I like it. It's kind of cool. It's like, oh, okay. But it's just that now that I know that he only lost two cases.
Oh wow!
It's gonna be like, come on, this.
Yeah.
I just look at the guy who always goes. It's the same guy that goes against him, I believe, most of the time, okay. Or if not all the time. And I'm thinking like, dude, you're still a prosecutor? Like, you know, you ain't get... Somebody said, like, man, you lose too much. You can lose to this guy. But even though, technically, I think he said... Somebody read in an old interview with the guy. I forgot his name, darn, because I looked it up. But the guy who plays his rival, he said that it's really not losing because it's the truth. I mean, what I'm doing is trying to find the truth out in court. And
not trying to defend or, you know, whatever. He's
I'm
just
fighting
trying
for the people.
To help get to the truth.
So,
okay.
Yeah, so that even though he
finds, like, DA feels, Perry Mason,
even though Perry Mason does, but he always, it's not like Perry Mason just gets his guy off. See, that's the thing with these lawyers, like Matlock and Perry Mason. See, they are fantasy because in real court, sometimes you don't get a guy. You don't get the real guy. Like, you might get somebody off, and maybe they didn't do it. But it's not like they're a final who really who did the crime.
Yeah, there's not necessarily ever that closure that you get in these TV
Yeah, you never get the closure. Like, these shows make it like you get closure. So it makes you feel like, hey, the guy's either guilty, he's really guilty, or you'll find out who the real killer is because Matlock does his detective work. And, you know, he has his guys, people looking out and doing things. It's like Perry Mason has his guy investigating against stuff to find out who really did the killing Well, so far, the two episodes I've seen was just killings. I don't know if they all have to do with deaths, but maybe they do. Like I said, I never watched Perry Mason before. So, it's yeah, you always get in those shows, you get closure. That's why I like the practice is real. It's much more real, and Boston Legal is much more real, even a little more comical. But it's real. You don't get a definitive, you get a win and a loss or a mistrial or something like that, but you never get it like, hey, the white person went to jail, or sometimes the wrong person goes to jail. Sometimes they lose. So I go to the episode, I used to like that. It's like, oh, they might can lose. See, Matt, like, I'm going in, like, he's going to win every case.
Yeah.
He's going to win every case. Like, oh, I can't wait till you figure out who's the bad guy is. Or, like, till he does, so even though we already know. But, like, practice, sometimes you don't know, or they make it suspenseful, like, hey, maybe the guy they defended, they got them off, but they might have did it. Yeah, we don't know. But, or they did it, and they try to say they were insane. It was insanity. Yeah, it's that's why I like the newer lawyer shows. I like how it's evolved. How they evolved from just a black and white. Like, they make it real. Like, this is how real courtrooms work. They're not black and white. Like, the justice system is not black and white.
That was going to be my question. This is in black and white, right?
Oh, yeah. The early shows. I think later on it comes in color. Because it starts in 1957. Mm-hmm. And then it goes into when people have color TVs. Well, some people do.
Not sure when that was. That's why I was wondering.
Yeah.
Like 60s, 70s? Like, I was thinking 70s, but...
But I think in the 60s you got some colored. Because Star Trek came out in the 60s.
Let's see. When did color... Oh, shit. December 17th,
1953. Oh. Well, then this was still in black and white. Yeah, color TV came out then, but I guess what was in color?
Yeah. Yeah, that's just when they started broadcasting some commercial.
And that's the thing. When I saw the credits, they were advertising stuff. I saw something for like washing machine, like washing powder and
some kind of canned food.
I didn't notice cigarettes. But I didn't know none of these brands. I know that. I didn't know none of those brands that I was seeing.
You
right
secretly
there.
Know them because they're like now some different name that some super conglomerate or something like that.
Yeah, they probably did. Yeah, exactly. But that was only the first episode. The second episode, I noticed I didn't see that in the credits. I just saw a regular, I think it was like a gavel or something. I forget what it was. But yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was cool. It's interesting watching that. Kind of like me watching old Batman and like how they... How things were filmed on television then. Mm-hmm. All right. So what else have I watched? I guess, yeah, we could both talk about this. The Mandalorian. So you caught up now?
Yeah. Yep. I watched the latest one last night.
All right. So, yes, the last two episodes of The Mandalorian. Since we're recording on Monday today. So we saw. Yes. But wait a minute. I didn't watch the second episode the other day because I didn't watch the second episode yet. But yeah. I caught up too technically then. Because
we had recorded on Friday, so it came out that day and we didn't get a chance
that
to watch
it. Exactly. All right. So how do you feel about these two episodes?
I like both. The second one, I guess it is, with all the spidery stuff. I think that was pretty action-packed. You know, there was a lot of controversy about what our little friend Baby Yoda was doing to the frog lady's eggs.
Now, see, I'm not looking at the internet on what they're saying about it. So I will say what I feel about it. Spoiler alert. Yeah, I that is a little controversial because, I mean, I did a little argument with a friend. I said, well... They're not assimilated yet, right?
Right. Yeah, they're unfertilized, so that's basically what the eggs were eating, right?
Yeah. But then again, she's talking about her bloodline and stuff. See, it's not just she would have kept it just plain like, oh, this is my babies, and I'm just we're just trying to get to my husband. But she make it like she's the last of her bloodline, her family, and something like that. They went deep with it, so. It felt worse seeing the baby eat those eggs to me. Like, it was, like, funny, but then it was like, wait a minute.
I mean, that's the thing, right? Is like, it was played as a joke. So, like, seemingly when they filmed this, they were like, oh, people are going to love this. Like, oh, this little wacky guy, he's going to be sneaking in there eating eggs. And then I think it maybe went in opposite direction than they necessarily thought.
I mean, like I said, if she didn't say nothing about it being, like, her last of her bloodline or whatever, or, like, yeah. her family.
Turned into genocide at some point.
Yeah, that then it was like, yeah, you went a little too far. You should have said that. You should have just said, these are my eggs, and I look for my husband. Bam. Kept it really simple, mm-hmm. plain, not make it so emotional. Because you kind of make it, like, emotional at that point when you say exactly. things like
you,
that.
You wanted to see her get across the galaxy to see her husband and get these little guys turned into things or whatever.
And then you're going to show them had the family. Then in the third episode, you're going to see the baby Yoda with her, one of her kids that did hatch, and like just playing with it. It looked real nice, but then you think, like, man, you just ate some of his potential brothers and sisters.
Yep.
Yeah, that is a little weird. But other than that, go ahead.
Yeah, other than that, I liked the spidery bits and just the Mandalorian fucking failing over and over again. It was cool seeing X-Wings and those guys again. I think last time we saw those guys was like in the Prison Break episode or something like that from season one.
Yeah.
Just seeing more of the... Not an overabundance of that stuff where it's like, oh, here we go again. But nice little nods to those things. Seeing familiar things that we're used to. Like even in the first episode, seeing Boba Fett's armor. It's like, oh, you know, that looks familiar. Even though, you know, Timothy Oliphant instead of him. Yeah, so I really like that. I need to go back and watch the second one. I was kind of in and out of the room with my daughter kind of. Watching that one, I don't think I really missed too much, though. Just kind of on the action scenes. And just seeing his ship get more and more beat up is hilarious to me. And the fact that, you know, he's still able to fly around in that thing.
Yeah, because I'm kind of thinking, like, man, this ship ain't going to be like how Star Trek, the ship is a character itself.
Yeah.
I don't think the ship... Is this ship going less? You know? The way that ship got beat up, unless, like, they just fix it totally, like, redo it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That Vesper armor itself or something.
Yeah, exactly. That jalopy. That looks it looks like the ship from Spaceballs or something like that now. That yeah. RV's looking crappy ship. But, the second episode, yeah. Other than the Baby Yoda eating the eggs, I did enjoy it. I did like it. So what about the third episode?
Third episode I was really into, seeing more Mandalorians and having Sasha Banks in there. That was cool.
He didn't talk much.
The thing is for me, though, is like now I'm like, okay, they're getting into the lore where maybe I need to go back and watch Clone Wars now because like – I know those people are characters that I'm supposed to be familiar with. I know that the leader is someone that either like had the Darksaber at some point or was on the search for the Darksaber.
Darksaber, I think, doesn't come to play till Rebels.
Oh, okay. Oh, is it Rebels? See, I gotta watch Clone Wars. I gotta watch Rebels. There's too much stuff I can go back into.
She was in Clone Wars, but the Darksaber stuff, I don't think happens to Rebels. I didn't get to that point in Rebels yet. But I see, when I saw her, I said, that lady looks like the one from Clone Wars. I said, she's supposed to be her? And then we said her name. I didn't know. I don't remember her name. But yeah. I just said, okay, it sounds familiar.
I can't
familiar.
Tell you her name right now, and I just watched that episode last night.
I mean, with these names, they're Star Wars names. You got to keep saying it. You got to keep saying it, and then for me to register it, because they're weird. So... I don't really register unless you just keep saying the name. Let's just keep saying it. But she, I know her from Clone Wars. She was the sister of the ruler of Mandalore.
Oh, okay.
At the time, but she was against her sister. She was part of, was it Death Watch? But like they didn't like the way Mandalore was going.
Mm.
But she ended up being on the side of, and her sister was in love with Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Oh, okay.
And he had feelings for her too, but he was, Obi-Wan was fighting those feelings because of the Jedi Order, because right. Luke is fucking writing, that they had to make it like, we're monks and we can't love and we can't show, we can't have emotions, even though we have it all the fucking time. It's just ridiculous. So they get angry all the time and they really fight the love. Like, oh, nope, can't have no sexual relations. Had to repress them. But yeah, anyway. So yeah, that's, and I said, oh yeah, I said she, cause her hair is just like her. And they say that's the same actress
that talks, that's cool,
that speaks her voice. It's like, oh good. I mean, I find it funny, like these actresses, cause I, when I really see the people who portray, who are doing the voices for certain characters, so they didn't look nothing like who they're doing the voices for. So I just, for her to be able to just actually portray the character, it's like, oh, okay. So they can actually, she kind of looks like her. So, okay, that works out. Actually works out for that. Yeah, she's pretty cool. I like her.
I also like the fact that they just immediately, like, they take off their helmets and the Mandalorian is like, what the fuck? Like,
yeah.
And then she explains, so like, oh no, you're the weirdo. Like, we take our helmets off all the time.
And that's what I'm saying. With the Mandalorian, I was like, what is he? Because I'm going by Clone Wars and everything, and I'm like, these people don't keep their helmets on all the time. They always taking them off. They want to get some air. I mean,
stank, like, breath Mandalorian over here.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you fucking got dude, don't take a bath or not. What the hell's wrong with you? Jesus Christ. Unless it's like a self-cleaning armor. That's what it is. It's self-cleaning. Maybe. Yeah. The Star Wars magic.
Scrubbing bubbles in there.
But it's, yeah. So I'm glad they really went to, they did that. The show, like, yeah, you're different. You're different. Yeah. We are the normal Mandalorians. Because even in the Knights of the Old Republic games, like, you see Mandalorians without wearing all their gear. Mm-hmm. Just walking around like regular people. And I just never knew what was, I always wanted to know what was the difference between them and humans.
Right.
Like, what do they have? Do they live longer? I'm not sure.
They got funky downstairs bits, Dominic.
Yeah. No, they got them. Because that lady, I believe they got them. But anyway, that lady like Obi-Wan, but I don't know. Maybe it's something weird down there going on that you just can't, you can't have sex like the same. Like with the Quarians. The Quarians. I said the Quarians. What's that Mass Effect, the blue people called? It's the, Asari.
Ah, so yeah.
Yeah. Just like the, Asari, like they just kind of go through your mind and I guess they just give you an orgasm. I don't know. That's like that.
Got all the bits.
All right. So, what else about this episode? Did you like?
The action episode, right? Bits were cool. You know, them trying to hijack the ship and stuff, and just the jokes like, oh, you know, there's stormtroopers in there, but they couldn't hit the broadside of a Bantha and stuff like that. Like playing on stuff that we know about Star Wars,
exactly.
And just going into the port city and kind of seeing like a wide array of different weird creatures, and it's always nice seeing that kind of stuff. And of course, seeing his ship get fucked up even more is hilarious.
I was hoping that when the calamari, I was nice to see the calamari too, another calamari. I was hoping, like he said, this is the best you can do for my ship. I was hoping, like, when he turned the ship on, it ran really well. like it just looks horrible, but it runs really well. But nah, it was just still a piece of crap. So I was like, darn. Yeah, can you pay that man for what? Just, I guess, to be able to just to take off.
Pretty much.
And I'm glad they mentioned Ahsoka. Ahsoka Tano from the Clone Wars. So that's kind of cool how they're melding the Star Wars universe with this. Though I just want to know what's the end game with Baby Yoda.
Yeah. It's back to Daddy Yoda. I mean, he gets murdered and becomes a Force ghost.
Yeah, I just want to know if the others race, or it's like, it only could be one Yoda per life cycle.
Yeah.
Because I only saw... Actually, no. I think I saw more than one Yoda.
Wasn't the female Yoda alive around the same time? Yarba or whatever her name is?
That's right. Yeah, there was a female Yoda. Well, it'll only be one of each sex.
One male one, yeah.
So they can make a Yoda. She laid the egg.
I'm interested in that game, too. Because, like, these past couple episodes, we haven't really seen him do anything, like, power-wise. He's mostly just been there for comic relief. I wonder, you know, if they actually have an idea for him, or if it's just like, oh, we got this cute character, and then it blew up so big, it's like, oh, season two, we were going to have him delivered, or if, you know, the intention was always for Baby Yoda to be the, like, through line for this entire series, however long it goes.
But yeah, at least the series to me is still very well done. I'm really enjoying it, and like, I do want to keep up with it and keep watching it. That's why I like, because I haven't had a series like that in a while.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm The Mandalorian is pretty cool. It's a pretty cool show.
Yeah,
still cool, I should say. All right, so I guess we get into what we've been playing. So you didn't have to play anything because you've been out on your little vacation. Yeah. Down in Florida.
Yep.
Yeah.
I took my Switch with me, and I took my my laptop and a PlayStation controller, thinking, oh, hey, Miles Morales is going to come out. Let me set up remote play before I leave just to see if it's functional to give that game a little bit of time. And I got it set up working here. The latency wasn't very good, so I didn't know what kind of experience I was going to have. And then the other night, I tried to boot into remote play, and it took me to your PlayStation again, and I fucked everything up for you. So
yeah, like, I was playing baseball, and it could cut out on me.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa. I said, hey, what happened?
I was looking at it, I was like, this isn't my wallpaper, but Miles Morales is right there. And then I looked at it, I was like, Dino Mance, God damn it, why did it take me to his PlayStation?
Yeah, because I saw everything was moving by itself to my menu. I was like, what the hell is going on?
It's possessed. It's trying to tell you you need a PlayStation 5, Dominic.
But yeah, I had downloaded it from yours, the Miles Morales, and the original one too.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I want to play that a little bit again also. Yeah, Miles Morales, so I played that.
Mm-hmm.
It feels great. And I was hoping that they had put the updated controls, because I didn't know the controls were changing like that.
I didn't either.
Because there's, like, you still swing the same way, but you don't do tricks the same. You just press the square button, where in the original Spider-Man, it holds square and X, or circle and X, something like that. It was like, you had a whole triangle. You had a whole triangle square. I forget. Hold on, I got to get a controller. I think it's square and X. And you have to hold both those buttons at the same time to do your tricks. What was it? Triangle and circle. Okay, I fucking forgot. But you had to hold two buttons.
I can't remember.
You have to hold two buttons to do a trick on the original Spider-Man. While in Miles Morales, all you have to do is hold one button. I think that's a square button. And what we use is
younger and more limber, Dominic.
That would really is a punch button. Because when I was playing, because I played Miles Morales first, and then I went back to Spider-Man, and I was trying to use the same controls for Miles Morales, and I was doing everything different. Even the abilities wheel, when you can bring it up, is on a different button.
Oh, weird.
And I mean, it still feels good. I think that it's more refined. Like, they refined it with Miles Morales. And I want to know, is it in the remastered version of Spider-Man on the PS5, are those controls changed, or are they still the same? That's what I want to know. Or did they change them with Miles Morales? Since they remastered, this is like a remastered. I want to know, did they change it to Miles Morales, or they just updated the look and changed Peter Parker?
Yeah,
because Peter Parker is still the same on regular PlayStation. I mean, PS4.
Yeah, they didn't patch.
So we still got the good one. So I'm still playing with the good one. I was scared that they patched that in or something. I was like, oh no, I hope they didn't patch in from the original one. It's all good. So he looks like a older guy and not a younger dude. Now the voice is still the same though, right?
Yeah,
they just changed the face.
Yeah,
Yeah, okay.
That seems like the voice of an older guy. Like, the face just seems too young. I don't...
Yeah, exactly. So, back to Miles Morales. Yeah, the game, the controls feel really refined. You can see he's different. It's not just a new a black skin, a Spider-Man. It's literally like they change his bit. The way he swings, you know, he jumps and stuff is different than regular Peter Parker. Even though it looks like he's more flimsy, because maybe because he's not used to swinging, right. And maybe that's what they were going for.
That'd be cool if, like, over the story, he gets a little more confident and, like, his swing becomes more confident kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. That would be cool if that happened. The story is pretty good. They really touch on, like, I would say this about Michael Bendis, because he's created this character, right?
Yeah.
I give it to him for checking those boxes, those diversity boxes. Like he said, I'm going to put in Black and Latino X. Like I'm checking Puerto Rican, I'm checking both those boxes at the same time, so I cover that fucking base. Like you got those the minorities, the biggest minority group in America. Bam, you got your character. Like they can both be happy because he speaks Spanish, he be eating Spanish food and stuff, but he still like he has his black kind of culture too from his dad. But only thing I get Michael Bendis, but I do criticize him. Because he should have asked people about, like, what a good name is for the fucking father.
Yes.
Because that doesn't make any fucking sense. He said, I'm going to make this man Blackity Black. Two slave names. Jefferson Davis. And so I'm like, you sons of bitch. And I think they could have gave him a better reason. Or not have it a reason. Or make the father Hispanic. Like, it just doesn't make sense that...
As to why he doesn't have his last name.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't make sense to me. I mean, I know some people are progressive going to say something like, what's wrong with that? I say, well, I'll hyphen it. I mean, what?
Right.
Why
did he take it away? To take his mother's name?
Yeah.
When they're together. It's not like they're separated.
Yeah, it's not like they're separated. Yeah. That's what I thought. I thought they were separated. But I found out, say, oh, he must have lived with his father. They really made it. Okay, they did that. And I was like, oh, no, they're together. I said, interesting.
This seems like a weird choice.
Yeah, and a choice to say, like, oh, because of his past, his name. It's like, but you still live with them. It's like that you can't... And it's such a basic name. Yeah. Davis. Right. It's like, there's a million Davis. It's not... It's some name like, are you that Davis? It's like, no. It's like a million Davises. It's like so basic. Anyway...
And also, like, did he choose to go with Morales, or was it his mother and his dad was like, oh, sure, let's just name him after you for some reason. I don't know.
I just think, because
my name's Stu. Maybe the dad resents the fact that he was named after the Confederate president and is like, I don't know, my parents are stupid as fuck. They should have never named me this. I'm not going to do that to my son. He's going to have a cool name like Miles Morales. I don't know. Maybe that's it.
But I know we know, like, from a writing standpoint, that Bendis, he likes the PP, like to keep it the same. So,
like, the alliteration.
Yeah, but I feel like you could have got something else with the L. Matthews or something. If you want to do something, you know? I mean, Morales sounds right, but I'm saying, like, then the father, I wish the father was Hispanic then, and the mother was black. You know, whatever. But anyway, but that's cool. It's cool that he's very diverse in that way. And the school interacted with this buddy, always the guy behind the computer, and talking to him. And all his friend he beats in this game from a past, a girl. So that was cool, too. And how he interacts with the people around his neighborhood, kind of like how Peter does, interacting with certain people. It's cool, too. All that stuff is very well done. It feels very organic and real. And I like it. I like the kind of the music, too. The music is different from regular Spider-Man. It's more probably hip-hop, more up there in that way.
Yeah.
So it just feels new. Like, it feels like the same, but just new, like a new branding. And kind of like how Spider-Verse was, you know, with Spider-Man. Like, they did a good job with that. And I like to actually, the first costume, the new costume you get, not the one you start out with. The one you start out with, I like that. I like him wearing a coat and having those gym shorts and tights under them. Yeah, then the Spider-Man suit. I like that. I wish now, maybe you'll get that later. I haven't unlocked all the costumes. I would prefer if they had the black mask and him doing that instead of the Spider-Man mask. But maybe you'll get that later on. Yeah, possibly. I did, of course, you get those two unlocked costumes from the beginning that came with the pre-order bonus. Mm-hmm. The one I called the Circus Soleil one and the black one.
Something.
Yeah, and the black one from Spider-Verse. And I put that on. Thing is, I'm playing it with Spider-Verse for a while and I'm like, this don't look no different than a regular costume. I was mad. I was like, really? Is that... Was that really just a PS5 version type of shit?
Then I was like,
oh, I was like, you know what? I didn't never put my powers on. Like, you know how you can put your suit?
You gotta switch over the thing.
And then I found out that, wait a minute, what is this? Oh, they say this power is, like, makes you look like you're from another universe or something like that. I said, oh, so I have to equip a power to get that effect. To get the effect of the powers.
See, I didn't think about that because I know people were talking about how you could use that effect on other costumes.
Yes,
but I didn't think about the fact that it wouldn't just auto-equip when you equip that costume.
And then I put that. Oh, now it looks like Spider-Verse. Yeah. I said, okay, and that looks cool. I like just playing around with that. Though I don't like that that has to take a place of a power.
Yeah.
I think that's not cool. That's not cool that that's what that is.
Especially if all it is cosmetic and doesn't actually give you some advantage or disadvantage.
Yeah. But yeah, even the camera, like doing the photo mode, all that stuff is, they added more to like lighting now. Like you got it so you can put lighting and things of that nature on your character. So when it's like really dark, and you know how you do camera mode, and sometimes be like, oh man, I can barely see Spider-Man, especially now you got a black suit.
Yeah.
So now I can change the lighting so that he just really shows up really clear. And it's like, oh man, that is cool. But I was thinking that maybe there's a patch for that in the original Spider-Man. I just didn't know. Nah, it's not there.
It's only in this one. I wonder if they added that to the remaster.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm thinking. Just like the controls. I wanted to add controls that too to the remaster. Because like I said, the controls feel better to me. I like them better than the original Spider-Man. So, they did a lot of refining to this game. Now, I haven't beaten it yet, so I can't really say how short it is. I know some people complain how short it is. But it seems like there's quite a few side quests to do. Things just like Spider-Man. And maybe it is shorter. Now, like I said, until I beat it, I can say, hey, this is worth $50. But... I mean, it was, what was it? It was only $50 on the PlayStation 5 version, right? It's not 50 on, is it 50 on 50 PS4 too?
Yeah.
It's only 40.
Because of the 40. Free upgrade, they made them the same price.
Ah, okay. Never mind. All right. So, $50. I'm not sure. I can't really say if that's worth it yet. I can't be fair to say that yet. I don't know why. I'm just going to tell you right now, I'm having fun with this game. Like right now, I'm enjoying it. I'm pretty deep into it. As far as the story goes, I'm pretty deep. Like, I know some of the bad guys. I've seen one surprise. So, yeah, I'm pretty... Even though it kind of happens quickly. So that gets me thinking, like, oh, yeah, this game could be short. But I see all the side stuff I haven't done yet. Also, there's two podcasters, J. Jonah Jameson, still doing the same things. And there's this woman podcast who's very more positive.
Okay.
Then Jay. So that's pretty cool to listen to.
Do they just break in or do you like choose which feed you kind of want to listen to?
Nah, they just break in. That's what I was thinking. I was like, can you just change it? I said, but yeah.
I want this negativity from JJ over here.
I like JJ. I mean, it's funny.
It's hilarious.
Yeah. He's funny as hell. Also, you know how Peter Parker's collecting backpacks of his old days? Like in this one, you're collecting these time capsules you did with a friend back in middle school. So you're seeing things of that nature. So that's cool. And I'm thinking like, yo, You only in high school. It hasn't been that long, man. You just want to wait some more for those time capsules.
This is a 3-year time capsule.
I guess, yeah, for young people, man, things got to happen fast, so it's too long, right? These days, man.
It's the internet too era old. Of time capsules.
Yep, exactly. It's like, oh, man, like anything like a year old is covered to like 20 years to older people. Anyway. that's cool. I'm trying to think what else. He also has another extra thing is collecting. Peter has put out these virtual reality mini battles or something like that.
Challenges.
Yeah,
and stuff.
That's exactly what I'm looking for. Yeah, combat challenges. So
danger
he puts
room
up
challenges.
Yeah, and you got the stealth, to get these guys in this amount of time, and then you'll get some points to use to upgrade yourself of that nature, get tokens, to possibly get other costumes or powers. Yeah. So, yeah, it still has those elements. It just changes up a bit. But, yeah, and it's cool because now it's the same New York setting, but now it's snowing. You got snow around. It's cold. While Spider-Man, it seemed like it was either summer or fall. I don't know. Yeah. It wasn't cold. It didn't seem like it was cold. So, yeah, this game is cool. Like, it's neat. They make it feel fresh. I think this only did a great job with that. So, yeah.
Is there a portion of the map of that original game, or does it seem like it's the entirety of the New York that they had created for that game?
As of right now, it looks like it's the whole thing.
Okay, cool.
It looked like I can go anywhere, because I was looking at other places. I saw Avengers Tower. I saw the Freedom Tower, too. I saw, that's the Oscorp. I mean, I saw the Empire State Building. I went through Central Park. Yeah, I think it's the whole map.
Nice.
I think it's the whole map. I just don't know if you do everything in that whole map. I don't know. Yeah. But it looks like you could go through it.
I'm sure they would at least put like a collectible or something over here or there to to make you have a reason to kind of explore every little bit of it.
Yeah, but the game, it definitely feels good. Like this game has grabbed me. Like I want to play some more. Like nice. That and regular Spider-Man. Because like I said, I went back to play regular Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
And like playing that game again, I was like, oh yeah, this is cool too. And then I was like playing that a little bit too much. Oh no, I don't want to play. I mean, I'm going to probably play all the way through again. But yeah. I'm going to play on New Game Plus. I'm going to put on a little harder difficulty just to try it out.
Okay.
Since I got all the powers.
Yeah.
But I could see the improvements that what they have done with Miles Morales. So that's good that I went to do that. I will say about Peter that I don't understand him in this way. Like I understand like he wants to help people. That makes sense and that's good. But when Aunt May tries to help him, he keeps saying no. And I'm thinking maybe it's me. Because I come from where if the family member wants to help you, that's not a problem.
Yeah.
Like, unless it's something you really can help you. Unless it's something you can help yourself with. That's the only way I know people say no. It's like, yeah, no, I'm good. And I get that. But when Peter, like, he has the eviction notice. Aunt May tries to help him. He keeps saying no. And I'm like, dude, you can't afford to pay the bill. I mean, I don't know how you're going to fix this. He doesn't. He doesn't fix it. But I don't know why he keeps saying no to her when obviously she can afford it, but she ain't spending money on anything else. I just find that weird. It's like, I don't get that. Now some people I was looking at the internet, they question like why can he afford to pay and things of that nature. I said, I can get that. I kind of understand that. He spends on spider fluid.
Right.
That's just expensive.
I was gonna say, you know how expensive these chemicals are?
And those backpacks he bought. He bought like 10 million backpacks that you had to collect.
If he didn't just stop dropping them everywhere.
But I think later on you find out he won a contest if them out backpacks. That was funny. But yeah, just like he's denying help from others. And that is, I don't think that's a virtue, though. That's the thing. Yeah. I'm like, that's That's something not good. I don't know. That seems a little weird, because now you're out your house, but that's what your aunt is there for. She's there to help you, too, as much as you help her. But other than that, I mean, it's cool playing that game again. All right. So I played some more Trails. I still haven't finished. I'm still stuck because I stayed away from it that much this week.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully I'll finish that game by next podcast, because I really want to be done with it now. So now these next few games, except for Doom, I played quite a bit of. But these next few games, other than Doom, I just touched them because they just came out this week, and I just wanted to play a little bit of them.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll talk about Doom first. I played some more Doom. I played, a stage, and I did a collectibles. Oh, but this one stage, because I guess the way it ends with a timer that you have to escape an area, that it wouldn't let me do quick fast travel so I can go back in collectibles. So I have to go back to the stage again to collect the collectibles. I only missed two, because I was like, aw, I got to go back through the whole thing again and say, you bastards. I really would wish they would just make it that, look, if you already beat the fucking stage, you can fast travel in the stage now. Like, Absolutely. Don't make me go through the whole stage again. I just want to get the collectibles.
Weird. Yeah, especially on something that's timed like that.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's only at the end of the stage when it's timed. So just don't get to the end of the stage. Just try to get the collectibles before you get to the end of the stage. But anyway, the only good thing is that you can put the cheat codes in when you go back, and it doesn't hurt you. Like, it doesn't mess up with your achievements or nothing like that. So that's good when you go to Mission Select. So that makes things a little easier. Because I got the infinite ammo. I had infinite lives, and that's basically all I need. Mm-hmm. There's some other things, too, but that's all I really need. I just don't want to keep dying and restarting. I just want to just pick up where I left, right when I died. All right, so now these games, EA Play is officially out on the Xbox. Came out, the day of the Xbox Series X launch?
Yeah.
Tuesday. Tuesday at 12, I think it started, and probably a little before then, because I know I downloaded the games a little before then. Because I saw, I can download them.
It'd be nice to let you preload or whatever.
Yeah. So I downloaded Destiny. Well, no, I said Destiny. I'm sorry. I downloaded Anthem, Plants vs. Zombies, Battle for Neighborville, and Jedi, Star Wars, Jedi Fallen Order.
Yeah.
Now, that wasn't in the EA Play. I had to literally go search that game to download it, because I was thinking, I thought people said it was there. So I was maybe I read it wrong. But then I looked online and somebody said, yeah, I don't see this game. So, you have to go. They haven't put it in there yet. You have to literally go to search the game and install it. And I said, oh, okay. So I played just a little bit of those. I played a little bit of Jedi Fallen Order, just the beginning part. It's the very beginning when, when shit hits the fan and they find out you're a Jedi. I also played a little bit of Anthem. Did one mission just playing with that game. I mean, I said before, it feels all right. It feels all right game. It's, it's just that, I haven't played enough of it. But from what I hear about it is that it's not much there. So, of course, that's why I didn't get it. I also played now quite a bit of Plants for Zombies Neighborville online, playing against those kids and getting killed by them, because I didn't know the controls that well.
They have faster reflexes, Dominic. It's all about the muscle fibers in their fingers.
Yeah.
It's not your fault, you're old.
But it was fun. It was fun playing that game. It's very colorful and nice. And they did a lot of improvements over 2. Also, loading seems like it's faster than 2. Because that was always a problem for me. Was loading taking too long. But, the different characters they have. I played with that mushroom, ninja-looking mushroom thing. And that was cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And also, I didn't play with no other new character. That was the only newest character I played in that game. I played a little bit with... Actually, I did play a little bit with the Snapdragon. and blowing fire at people. But other than that, yeah, it's something I can see me playing. Like, I'm glad I got that game now for free. So now I can play the better version instead of two. And I actually did a mission. They went those single player. Well, no, it's not single player. Because you can play with the group, but it's kind of those missions, those player versus environment missions, where I had to fight the Dracula zombie or something. I forgot it. I wasn't reading it. I wish they had voice acting in the game. I don't even feel like reading shit. But I guess it's for kids when it teaches them how to read, I guess. I don't know. but I guess he was doing something in the neighborhood and we had to stop him. So I did that little story mission. And I mean, that was fun. I can see it being fun doing those missions and fighting the boss. Like, it's a lot to this game. I mean, like I said, 2 was huge. 2 had a lot of shit. The microtransactions are just, they are what hurt this game, really. That's what really hurts the game, really. So microtransactions. And the way you unlock your, all the character outfits of that nature, it's cosmetic items. It's different than 2. Like, you don't just get a card pack or buy a card pack. You have to just go to this coin slot, put in, 30,000 coins, and you just get a random item. Just one random item. So I was like, darn, I wish I had card packs again. Shit. at least I get like a few items.
Right.
I only get one item. Then it's like, this one item sucks. It's like a random item. It's like, ah. Or I could go and buy some coins. Or you could buy some stuff, you know, with some real money. Because it actually says it like $9.99. And it's like, son of a bitch. Oh, boy. All right. So I also, but that was the only games I played from the EA Play. I did play a little bit of Destiny. They have a new DLC out. Now, Destiny 2, I only did like one mission of a story mission that I was, actually, it wasn't a story mission I was on. I was going to play. Now, the problem with Destiny is that when they got this new expansion, they take things out. And I didn't know that. Because I was doing missions, and when I went back to the game, I didn't see none of my missions.
Oh, shit.
I typed it online, and I said, where's the missions? And then I read, like, the new DLC, certain plans are gone. Like, I don't see, I don't know what the plans were, but I don't see them anymore. And I'm like, oh, shit. They really do that? I said, God damn it. Yeah. And so, now, and thing is, they start you out with the Beyond Light, like right to that story. Uh-huh. Like, they just put you in there to the story, kind of like I think how they did with when you first started Destiny 2, when it first launched, how they did that. They do that with Beyond Light. They drop you in this world and all this lore, like cutscene, which I don't know nothing about, so I skipped it. I was like, I don't know what the hell's going on. I just beat the original campaign. I didn't play the other two campaigns, so I don't know none of these characters or what the fuck is going on, so I just skipped it. Then I was fighting his enemies, it all said immune. I was like, what? I was these enemies are too high powered. Why did you drop me into a world where I don't have the fucking equipment? So I left that world, went back to the hub world, the Earth Tower, but then I saw that they did boost my armor, but not the armor that I equipped. They boost the armor that is in my inventory.
It's weird.
Yeah. So I said, wait a minute, I never had armor this high. I said, oh, they must have boosted because of the new expansion and they want everybody to be up to a certain level. So a power level. So I equipped it. And then, but I didn't want to play that story. I was like, Darren, I'm going to go play an older campaign. And I was back. So I was like, I was working on this. I was working on a certain mission, and now it's gone. Because apparently the planet's gone or something. I don't know, but I didn't know that's what they do. I was like, why? You have to take out shit for this? Like, you can't just add, like, another world or another story beat? You have to literally, like, oh, this place is gone now. I don't know. It seems that's a little weird. And Destiny, that's the thing with Destiny I have a problem with. Things are just not simple in this game. Like, when I go to, at least with Avengers, I mean, it's a Destiny clone, but I know this is the campaign, and then you have it where, hey, I just want to play with other people. That's it. I know what I'm doing. Destiny doesn't make it simple that way, where I can just go like, hey, I want to just play a campaign. I click a button. I have to go somewhere and then start the campaign. And even when I put the tracking, they say, oh, track a quest. I say, okay, track campaign quest. It doesn't tell me what plan to go to sometimes. Sometimes it does, and then it doesn't. I don't understand it. Sometimes I have to click on the fucking planet. Then I see, like, okay, that's the right planet to go to. Once I was clicking on all these planets, saying, like, okay, I don't see nothing here that says, talk about the campaign. I said, okay, now I found it. It doesn't make things very simple in the menu. Like, I wish it was like, hey, in the menu, I want to go to this planet. Bam. And you just take me. You just take me there. That's it. I don't have to do anything else. Like, I want to do this quest. Take me to this planet where this quest is. That's it. They don't make things simple that way. And the menu system is so convoluted. I don't like it. It's a big turnoff for me. And it caused me, like, I probably play this game a lot more. Mm-hmm. But just that, with that, their systems are not, I don't know why they're so complicated that way. Why they make it that way. And last but not least, the game I played was Tetris Effect Connected. So that was a game that just came to Game Pass. And so I was hearing, you know, I heard good things about Tetris Effect. I know you said you played it on the PlayStation 4, right?
Yeah, there was a demo for it.
You played the demo. Cool. So I never played it. So I said, okay, let me try this game out. And I'm not a big Tetris guy. I've never been good at Tetris. So I didn't think I'll like this game. But you know what? This game really taught me how to play Tetris, because I was playing it wrong, apparently, all those years. But this game is fun. I mean, I like it. I like the how the music coincides with you placing pieces and breaking the lines. And the visuals look really nice.
Mm-hmm.
All depends on what stages you play. Like, this game's really fun. I just played the campaign. Excuse me. I didn't play against people. But the campaign is pretty cool. You go through different stages. They have different scenarios. I mean, the scenarios, I'll say, I'm sorry. Like, different settings, I should say. Like, one, it looks like just a whole bunch of bright lights, neon lights, placing the Tetris pieces. Then one place looks like Da Vinci machines flying around or something like that. It looks pretty cool. The game is fun, and it's really cool. They say the best way to play it is through headphones. I didn't put headphones in until my second playthrough of some stages, and second time I played, I should say. It does have some effect. It does have a pretty good effect with that, because the way the music goes along with your play. I think it's a nice game. Like, especially if you're a Tetris fan, I think you will love it. I'm not a Tetris fan, but I did like it. I did really enjoy it. It's a cool puzzle game. This kind of reminds me of the way how Pac-Man has evolved with the Pac-Man DX. Like, how they really modernized it and made it really cool and slick with the colors and music and of that nature too with that game. This kind of reminds me of that. It's very well done. Like, it's a very well done game, and I think people should check it out. Like, how did you say? You said you liked it, right? You said you liked what you played.
Yeah, it was cool.
And that is it for what I've been playing. So I guess we'll take a quick break. When we get back, we get to the flashback segment.
All right.
Let's go back in time, shall we? Doodaloo, doodaloo,
doodaloo. And we're back. And before I get into the flashback segment, this is something I watched. I watched a Twitch stream of NBA 2K21 where a person was playing the WNBA My Player mode up there.
And that's only in the next-gen version, right?
Yes. I think WNBA is in the current gen, just the My Player is in the next gen. Because I could have sworn WNBA has been in there. Because I think my friend told me about it.
Yeah, it has.
So he was playing My Player. Now, I didn't realize he was playing My Player. I just saw him playing with WNBA, and I was like, oh, that's cool that he's playing this.
Mm-hmm.
And then I see this really huge white girl And I was like, who is she? That girl is a giant. And I was like, oh, okay. That's got to be his character. Cause when he did lay the shot and he went a close up on him, on that, on that person, that woman had a beard. So you can make your woman have beards in this game.
I support that.
Yeah, so you know what? Yeah, go ahead. She's just got a lot of testosterone. I mean, it happens. People get this. You've seen women that can get beards, they just probably shave them. But, yeah. Or they don't. They be in the circus. Well, the circus not there no more, so now they're playing WNBA.
Oh, wow.
But yeah. I thought that was funny. I saw, like, what? I said, this big bearded woman, this, like, 7 foot tall, what? Like, woman who just over there just dominating. That was crazy. I think he was playing with the Mystics, too. So I was like, yeah, go Washington. I wonder if he's from the Washington area. But that was cool. It, like, it makes me really want to play. I'm not going to put a woman with a beard or anything. But my friend, he was talking about making a super tall woman. Because he don't really see it. You see tall woman, but you don't see nobody up to like 7 foot. God, that's record. That would be pretty funny to see that and just have her dunking all the time. You know, I didn't see a dunk.
No,
I didn't watch the whole game.
So a lot of fundamentals though, didn't you, Dom?
Yeah, yeah. Now the women got better. Well, the women they are good with the fundamentals, but they've gotten it's gotten better. It's definitely better than what in years past. Mm-hmm. All right, it's like even back in the old days, like before we were born, they were playing with skirts and shit. It didn't make any fucking sense.
No.
All right, so here we are, the flashback segment. All right, so what we got here? We start with 2010, going back 10 years. First game up, it's been 10 years, Daniel, that Call of Duty Black Ops came out. 10 years. And now we're on Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War.
Yep.
It's been 4 Call of Duty Black Ops since then, since 10 years ago. And, well, technically 5, and it's the 5th one, which they don't call it 5. I don't see a V. It's not a V anywhere, is it?
No.
Cold War. So it's like, man, it's an anniversary, but you know what? Call of Duty comes out every fucking year that it doesn't have that same feeling. Like, man, it's been a long time. It's like, but
then you start adding them all up and you're like, wait a second, holy crap.
Yeah, so, but with Call of Duty Black Ops, this was well received when it came out.
Oh, yeah.
The story, it had that very suspenseful story, top of the numbers or something like that, and I liked the story. It really messed with your mind, and it also took place in the past, because like they said, oh, we're not going to World War II, but we're going back to, what was it, the 60s or something like that?
They touched on like Vietnam and stuff.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Vietnam, that's what it was. I knew it was one of those wars. That was like Korean, what is it, fucking? Vietnam. So I guess now they kind of go back to the roots, I guess, today with the Cold War. It's kind of not going all the way, you know, deep in the past, but just to the 80s, you know? Mm-hmm. Well, because two played both sides. I mean, it kind of, it's like future shit. Yeah. Then you have a flashback of them in Saudi Arabia riding horses or some shit. But, you have 3, which went, I don't know what 3 is. I literally don't know if that's even canonical to the Black Ops series, because all those characters were different that I played, and it was no like you fighting. Oh, well, except for that scene when you was all on some drug or some shit and you were fighting World War II. But other than that, like that story was fucking horrible. Like that was hard. That was a horrible story. And of course we know about 4 was just online. So yeah. That just was nothing. So they kind of went back to the roots now with Cold War, with dealing with past events and really showing conspiracy theories and all that shit. So, yeah. But Call of Duty Black Ops, yeah. Like, people really liked that game. They really loved the story in that game, like how that went. Multiplayer, I'm sure they loved it. I just don't know much about it because I didn't play it. So I don't even play the story of that game. But I really enjoyed the story. Like, I really enjoyed the conspiracy theories about how events have come to pass. That was cool. And of course, that was, well, it wasn't the first zombie mode, but it was a refined zombie mode that was pretty good. People liked, because that was the one, was that the one where you could play as the presidents? I believe.
Yeah,
yes.
I think so. Yeah, yeah. Like in Fidel Castro and stuff.
Yeah. Like, oh yeah, you could play
Fidel Castro.
It was it Nixon too?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh yeah, I think it was Nixon also. So that was fun playing with those guys. So what else we got? Knights and Nightmare. This game, at first I wasn't going to talk about this game, but I said, let me look it up to see what it really is. See, is it even worth speaking about? Apparently it got a lot of good reviews. This is a strategy game. Like a strategy, JRPG strategy game. Kind of like Final Fantasy Tactics and Disgaea, but it's different. It came out also on the DS earlier. The PSP version came out 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a touchscreen. Was the PSP, that screen was touch? Yeah, it was touchscreen, wasn't it? Yeah.
No, not the PSP, the Vita was.
So the PSP was the back? You touched the back of it? All right, so okay. So I guess the PSP just used the buttons. So but on the DS version, you had to use the stylus to move the wisp around. And that's how you really controlled your people. It's like this spirit wisp that you have to, you still played it as a regular strategy game, but they can still shoot at you in real time at your wisp, which that's who you are. So if that thing dies, everybody dies. The wisp is kind of bringing people from death. Like you're bringing like the dead soldiers back up and like helping them fight these other monsters or whatever. So it was like, it was very complicated, but also I guess very engaging, as I was reading some of the reviews on this game is. And it's got like pretty cool reviews. It's really like, it's really like a dark gem, like a hardcore type of game. Because I haven't seen it no more, like anywhere no more. But seems like the concept is pretty cool. And yeah, I think I saw like, I forgot Metacritic. I mean, I know I saw people give it a nines or something like that. But I thought Metacritic was pretty up there for this game on
video
both versions.
Looks pretty interesting. Like they're just kind of original in concept.
Yeah, exactly. So they say like it makes these other games really seem very basic, but which is not like saying it's a bad thing, but they really went further with the whole isometric strategy, JRPG strategy. They added more to it. So I was like, oh, that's pretty cool that they tried to do that. All right, but I think the sales didn't go that well for it. It's very obscure. Some things do catch on. I mean, you know, you got some obscure things catching on. I mean, like Demon's Souls. Like, that was a game that, if you just looked at it, you would think, like, this is a piece of shit, because graphically, it looked horrible back on the PS3. And that's what I said. And then I saw people reviewed it and say how great it was. I was like, oh, I guess this really is something to this.
Yeah.
All right. Monster Jam Path of Destruction came out for almost everything. The DS, PS3, PSP, Wii, and Xbox 360. You know, that's just a monster rally game, and you just go destroy cars, I guess. You probably destroy, I don't know. Maybe you do more than that. Do you destroy buildings? Is it like the Hulk game? The Hulk destruction game?
Ultimate destruction?
Yeah.
Ultimate path of destruction.
So, what else we got? We got, oh yes, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer came out for the Nintendo DS and the Wii. I remember stocking this.
Oh, man.
At Target. I'm going to say this game was not rated that good.
Probably not.
I'm just going to guess it. Guess that's what it is.
Pretty much trash.
Yeah. Also, you got The Fight, Lights Out. I want to say that's the Move game for the PlayStation 3.
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
I want to say that's the fighting game for that. I usually put the game out.
Yeah, that's the PlayStation Move one.
And yeah, okay, I heard about that. Also, you got the Sly Collection. I know you have that game. Well, three Sly Coopers from the PlayStation 2. And did you beat all three?
No, I don't even know that I really played the second and third one. I played a decent amount of the first one, and I like those games, but something else came up, and I just stopped playing it.
And that's how I was with, I think, Jack. I beat Jack 1, but I didn't beat Jack 2 or 3. I think I'm in the middle of Jack 2 on PS3, which I think I would have finished them if it was just so easy for me to play those games on my PS3 without buying them again. Mm. I mean, a PS4, I should say. All right, you have Pictionary, came out for the Wii and the DS. I remember playing Pictionary when I was a little kid and with the family.
Yeah.
Derby Dogs. Now, the reason I put this game up here, this is one of those WiiWare games. Came out the Wii version released. Yeah, I don't think this was a game you buy. I think it was one of those download. You had it download only. Because these are you racing dogs. And I was like, man, Peter should be going after these people for putting out this game, even though it was digital. But a dog racing game. Like, this should have it. This should be like real dog racing. Like, so, oh, this dog's not doing so well. Let's put it down. Let's put it down. Or something like that.
Good Lord.
Hey, I'm just saying, if you can have dog racing games, you can have dog fighting games. I'm just saying, you can go the extra step. All right. Nintendo DS version of Need for Speed Nitro X. I don't know how this game is rated. This is one of those DSi games, like rare games.
It doesn't look great. I mean, it's a 3D game running on the DS, so of course it's not going to look great. But I remember like one of those games coming out on the DS, and I actually bought it, and I was like, "Oh, this is all right." It wasn't super great, but it was like, "Oh, this handles 3D surprisingly well."
And you know what? You said 3D.
Yeah, because it's, you know, it's full 3D as far as, like, graphics go, not, like, 3D.
Oh, I'm thinking about, like DS, 3DS. Like 3DS. Yeah, no. I was like, it's like, wait, but I think this is before that, right? All right. So, darn, the DSi, see, I forget how many iterations the DS. Good God. Like, Nintendo has so many iterations of these handhelds. And you know what? Like, the Switch, I mean, you have the Switch Lite. Like, we got it. I mean, if COVID didn't happen... Do you still think there'll be another iteration of a Switch come out next year?
The rumors sound too strong for that to not be the case. I just wonder what it's going to be. Is it going to be something that's like a full upgrade? Is it going to be a half step kind of thing where I can still use my old one?
It's going to be a Switch. I just wonder the Switch Eye. The Switch Eye. Yeah, because I heard of DSi. I was like, I don't want to buy another. I just got the freaking DS Lite. And I was like, I don't want a DSi. Then it had DSi XL. I mean, god damn, man. They really, Nintendo, they went hard with those iterations. All right. So, and last, and maybe least, I don't know. 21 Blackjack on the Nintendo DSi came out. Yep. Always try to get 21 people. Even if you got like 17, you go for it. You say,
yes.
You say,
double down, always.
Yeah. All right. So now we're going back 20 years. And we're got, let's see what we got on Windows. Escape from Monkey Island.
Oh, man.
I had this game on a PlayStation 2. I didn't have it on PC. I didn't even know about Monkey Island, honestly. I mean, I heard about it, but I didn't really know about it, and I didn't really play those games. Like, it was Day of the Tentacle. It was like my first foray into point and click, and I kind of went from around there. Monkey Island was like too old. I didn't know about Monkey Island 3. I seen Monkey Island 1 and 2, but I didn't see 3 for whatever reason. I guess I was just in that PC space. But Escape from Monkey Island is the fourth iteration of the Monkey Island series. And this is like the first one that used like polygons. I mean, as in, like, it was 3D. The first one to go 3D, because the previous one was actually hand-drawn, like a cartoon, which it looked good. And like some people still think that's like the best looking one because of how the hand-drawn look of it.
Just holds up so well.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's like a cartoon. It's like an old-time cartoon. So Escape from Monkey Island, that doesn't kind of hold up as well because of the political look. You know, it looked good at the time.
Yeah.
At least at the time, it was like, it was okay. I wouldn't say it was great, but I mean, it was all right. And I like point and click games. So, on the PlayStation, like, I was like, oh, let me try this game. I borrowed it from what? Blockbuster? Yeah, I borrowed it from Blockbuster, played it. And yeah, I really liked that. I really liked doing those puzzles. It's like, oh, man, this is just like me playing Sam and Max and them. I said, yes, this game really brings back the memories of my point and click adventure games. And I was thinking, like, man, I want to get more games like this. And yeah. No, they didn't, because it's like, these games won't sell like that. not on those consoles. But yeah, it got good reviews. It was a good storyline. It made me want to get to the Monkey Island series, which I didn't get to till a lot years later. So until they did the remastered of 1 and 2, and of course I had the sequel to Escape from Monkey Island, which was done by Telltale, the Telltale version of Monkey Island, and that was good, and that was really good. So yeah, this is one of those big LucasArts games. Now hold up, Grim Fandango, when did that come out? That came out after this, right?
I think so.
Yeah, because that's like one of the last ones, right? That was one of the last from pointing like those by Tim Schafer.
Was that like this last one? Came out in 1998.
Oh no, it came out. So was this the last? Well, I don't know. Did Tim Schafer work on this one? I'm not even sure he worked on this one.
I don't think so. Yeah, I don't think so.
But it still feels like one of those games. Mm-hmm. And I'm just thinking, was there any game that came out after this that I felt like this was like probably the end of the cycle, basically, for a while until they just brought them back?
Yeah.
All right. Here's a game I haven't seen in years. I totally forgot about this game. The Operative. No One Lives Forever. This is the game with that woman who looks like she's from the 60s.
Oh, okay.
I didn't realize
it was called The Operative.
I didn't know that either.
But I remember No One Lives Forever.
Yes, I didn't realize that was a subtitle. I used to always say No One Lives Forever. So yeah. I got confused. Yeah, I was like, wait a minute. I do remember this because it's supposed to take like a James Bond lady. And also, it kind of reminded me of The Spy Who Shagged Me all the time because of the 60s look.
Exactly.
You know? So that's why I always thought about it. But yeah, it's been 20 years since that game was released on Windows.
I like that game. I don't think I ever got too far into it. I don't remember if I just played a demo for that game or if I had pirated it. I think I pirated it. But I don't know that I ever beat that game. It was cool, though.
Oh, it was cool. Okay, that's cool. Yeah, like, what do you remember about it?
I think it was more humorous. Like, it was a time after GoldenEye, so it was like, oh, this is what like first person shooters are starting to become. And of course I was playing it on the PC, so it was like, you know, we had already had Quake and Doom and stuff like that. I mean, Doom obviously is a little older, but Quake and whatnot, but that stuff was always like real hardcore and like had very like moody vibes and stuff, and this was a lot more lighthearted. It wasn't quite Spy Who Shagged Me kind of levels of, you know, absurdity, but it was still a lot more, you know, jokes and puns and stuff than something like a Doom or a Quake.
Okay. Yeah, because that's what I think I read it in the magazine. That's how they kind of describe it. That they kind of described the vein like it's like James Bond, comical, and things of that nature.
That's honestly something I wouldn't be like. I'm surprised no one's done anything with that license since. Like, I wonder if it's just like maybe because it's lost in like license limbo or something. Like, who actually owns it? Because like,
yeah,
Monolith developed it, but like Fox Interactive published it and Sierra Entertainment for PlayStation. Like, what the fuck is Fox Interactive anymore? Is that a thing that exists? Does Disney own that now? Like, apparently Fox Interactive later sold the Vivendi Universal Games in 2003 after taking over publishing rights in 2001, later dissolved in 2006. So I guess Vivendi Universal owned the rights, so then who would own the rights? Because, like, Vivendi Universal isn't a thing anymore, right? So then you got to follow, like, where that went to, and yeah, it's probably just like lost in limbo somewhere. But like, that would be such a cool thing, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you talk about like a sexy female. I mean, you know, Perfect Dark ain't there no more. Yeah. We're not getting, because they tried and they failed on the X60.
Might be trying again now, Nick.
Oh, maybe. But Yeah, that type of shooter also in that time period and kind of comical. I mean, yeah, there's something for that. There could be something there for that. And, like, it doesn't have to be a big, you know, AAA game. It can be what you see with, what's it called, Shadowrun or something.
Mm-hmm.
Is it Shadowrun? What's it called? Shadow Ninja?
Shadow Warrior.
Shadow Warrior, yeah. Shadow Warrior. What they do with Shadow Warrior? They could do something like that. I mean, not saying that. Shadow Warrior is, well, I think it's well done, but, you know, it doesn't look like
it's Call of Duty. It's not top tier, yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, the next game we got here, we got Ms. Pac-Man Maze Madness on the N64. I forgot to look this game up because. Is it just Ms. Pac-Man in, like, 3D? Like, 3D-looking Ms. Pac-Man or what? I totally forgot. I was thinking it was, but it still had that Pac-Man feel. It wasn't, like, a 3D Pac-Man.
I just want to see what the cover art looks like and see if it sparks any memories. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's definitely one of those types of things. Three-dimension Pac-Man. It looks like it's top-down, but...
Yeah, okay.
Like, isometric.
All right.
I could see that actually being a decent way to play a Pac-Man like adventure game like this. I
mean, not like fully 3D platforming like the other Pac-Man adventure.
Honestly, if you tried hard enough, I don't know why you couldn't turn Pac-Man into like a fun 3D platformer or even like a weird Crash Bandicoot style platformer. And I guess I live in a world where if you try hard enough, like you can make anything good, but.
All right, so what else we got? We got Tom and Jerry in Fists of Fury. What the hell? Why did I look this up?
I feel like I remember that one.
Like, Fists of Fury? Like, are they fighting each other? Or are they teamed up together?
They got to abuse each other, Dom. Like, that's what the cartoon was about. Oh, look, I can download the ROM. That's one of the first things that comes up.
But Tom and Jerry, okay, this is the year 2000. I guess it was still relevant. Relevant
in that we're watching reruns on like Cartoon Network or something like that. Sure.
Yeah, that's probably what it is. Yeah, it's like how, but it's definitely not on the level. Like right now, it's not relevant. Tom and Jerry is
Gray, or is that not supposed to be Jerry? That's weird. He's got a diaper on, so I guess it's not supposed to be Jerry.
Oh no, that's the Jerry baby. The baby mouse. That I always appears sometimes, and Jerry always try to protect him because he's always doing something like going out where Tom can get him.
Yeah,
I was rooting for Tom, man.
It looks like Power Stone, but with with Tom and Jerry characters.
Oh, really? Wow!
Like it's a 3D arena, and you're like picking up buckets and boards and stuff and throwing them at each other. Like it could be a decent concept, but it looks like garbage. Because it's a Nintendo 64 game.
All right. So, here we go. Oh, yes. We mentioned this on the covers. Mickey Speedway USA. Yeah,
oh, there
on
you
the
go.
N64. The best kart racing game on the N64. Like, people were talking about this.
Well,
like, man,
I mean, the South Park Racer was pretty good.
Oh, yeah. But this is, like, one of the best ones. There's, like, Mario Kart cannot stand up to these games. Like, Nintendo has to do something. They have to really... revamp their kart racing games because they have gone beyond them. All right, so what else we got here? Ultimate Fighting Championship. Oh yeah, this is, we already talked about this, I believe, on the Dreamcast. We talked about the Dreamcast version of this, and this got rated pretty well. This is the PlayStation version that came out 20 years ago, so probably most likely downgraded graphics from the Dreamcast, but this got rated well, and this is one of those first Ultimate UFC games.
Mm-hmm.
That came on consoles. All right. Also, you had Gradius 3 and 4 for the PlayStation 2 released. And within the PlayStation 2 window, the release window. I remember seeing this. This is, you know, if you know Gradius, it's that plane, like a bullet hell kind of shooter, you know. And you're in some kind of jet and you're shooting all these, I guess they're aliens. I try to remember. They're aliens, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. And... I was just thinking to myself, like, man, this is a PlayStation 2 game, man. This is nothing. It's like, this graphics, man, he is just like... I mean, I think it like, come on. Who the hell wants to play this? But I was into those games. So that's why I thought that way. But it's still probably it's one of those great... Gradius is one of those great games. And I always get mad because I always get always die because I didn't know where to go. So where I'm supposed to go to dodge and not get hit. Also, I'm going to skip this one for a bit. I'll come back to that. Also, Q-Bert came out for the Dreamcast. Yeah, Dreamcast got Q-Bert, man. Q-Bert's trying to come back.
I was going to say, making his return.
Yeah. Also, Skies of Arcadia came out for the Dreamcast. I remember seeing this. I was kind of excited for it because I was like, man, this looks like a cool 3D RPG. I said, this looks kind of interesting.
I remember when that came out for the GameCube finally, and I was like, oh, I can finally play this. It's so cool. And then I probably played a little bit of it and didn't play much more.
Yeah, and they, I think it released like a few years ago as a re-release, like a remaster of this game. Yeah, so yeah, it's out there. All right, Sky Odyssey came out for the PlayStation 2. This is a somewhat of a plane simulator, like old-time planes, you know, the wooden planes. Yeah. And I did not know about this game. This came out in the release window of the PlayStation 2. I looked at the reviews, and people did like it. It just didn't get that buzz. Like the, I was reading a review of IGN saying that it seems like a game that many people, well, people who stayed with it would really find it great, like really like this game, but others probably would just say like, ah, this is not that interesting. But it's actually better than what it is. And I was like, oh, I ain't never heard, I don't remember this game coming out. All right, Sonic Shuffle came out for the Dreamcast.
Oh, man.
I forgot what this one is. What is this Sonic?
Sonic Shuffle? Dancing? I mean, that makes it... makes me think it's like a Tetris-y kind of thing. Their take on Dr. Mario or something.
It looks like he's on a board game or something.
Yeah. What is this, like freaking Mario Party?
Yeah, is this Mario Party Sonic Edition?
What it looks like. God damn, this thing is high definition.
Yeah, this is the best version. This is the best version of Mario Party.
It might be. I mean, Mario Party is pretty trash, according to people that play Mario Party.
So. Exactly. A lot of people say it's trash. It got 54 on Metacritic.
Better than the 30-something that Mario Party's got it, so fuck you.
All right. So, what else we got? We got Star Wars Demolition for the PlayStation. I'm guessing this is like a Demolition Derby with Star Wars vehicles.
There's first-person shooting stuff. Is this like a Battlefield thing almost? Because there's vehicles also flying around like that.
Like you find a Rancor? I think it is a Demolition Derby. I think it is just a... Not Demolition Derby.
Get out of the vehicle, though.
You can get out the vehicle, too?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's weird.
Let's see what Wiki says. Let's see what Wookiepedia says.
Yeah, Wookie, yeah.
Yeah, it says vehicular combat game featuring locations and vehicles from Star Wars Galaxy. That's interesting that you can get out of the vehicle, though, and they have, like, first person
things. I wonder, can you get into another vehicle?
Player chooses a vehicle as well as CPU. I don't remember this game at all. Like, I feel like I would have remembered this cover at least. It's got Boba Fett on it, getting shot by an AT-AT and a Rancor and a freaking droid from the prequels. They're mixing all the stuff up.
I think I'm talking about the getting out of vehicle stuff in the PDF.
Long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away, total carnage! The carnage begins November 2000. Like, carnage?
Here's the backstory to it. The backstory of Star Wars Demolition is that the Empire declares a ban on Jabba the Hutt's sport of pod racing. To replace this lucrative enterprise, Jabba creates a more life-threatening contest where combatants fight to the death and or on vehicles.
Oh, good lord.
Several combatants enter the competition. Boba Fett enters, opting to use only his jetpack. Fellow bounty hunter and occasional partner Or Sang also enters, a swoop bike, her vehicle of choice. Oh, Or Sang, I know her. Other opponents mount various forms of tank, land speeders, and even a Rancor to compete in this battle to the death. So they outlaw, they declare a ban on pod racing, but they allow him to do this. What the hell?
Well, they haven't found out about this yet, so once they find out about that, then they'll ban that, and then it'll do, like, something else, and you know, they'll just keep doing that and doing that and doing that.
It said they used the same engine from Vigilante 8.
Oh, I thought Vigilante 8 was pretty cool back in the day.
They initially announced as a PlayStation exclusive, but rumors circled in July 2000 that the game would come to Dreamcast. This was confirmed the following month and was released in November 2000 in America on both systems. So both systems got, yes, this game, Star Wars Demolition.
Thank goodness. Spread the wealth.
Metacritic gave it 63 on PlayStation, 67 on Dreamcast. See, the highest score, I see a B- from Game Revolution. IGN gave it an 8 out of 10.
Revolution doesn't know anything.
IGN gave it an 8 out of 10 on PlayStation, 7.6 out of 10 on Dreamcast.
Now we're talking.
GameSpot, 7.4 on Dreamcast, 6.7 on PlayStation. The Cincinnati Inquirer gave it 3 stars out of 5. All right. This is like how they just had the Cincinnati Inquirer up there. I mean, what the hell? All right. So, what else we got? We got Urban Chaos. Urban Chaos, I thought, was like about riots. Yeah, to start riots, but it's not that. No. It looks like it's a third-person action game. And you play as this, look like a black woman, and who is trying to stop this corporation from doing some shit. And I guess you're just causing some urban chaos. And I guess, you know what? Now I think about it, this is racist. Because they say urban chaos because it's a black woman.
Because she's urban. She's, and there's chaos. Yeah. Pretty much exactly. Racist. Also, that cover just looks terrible.
There was a sequel that comes out later on PlayStation 2 called Urban Chaos.
Game got a
riot
sequel?
Riot Response. Oh, see, that's a Riot Response. Okay.
Interesting. Hard to believe that this game got a sequel.
Urban Chaos is on Steam. Gotta say, when I was born. That bad of a... I mean, is that, like, violent of a game? Or $3.49?
No, that seems like way too much.
Oh, that's a special promotion. I got 20 minutes until it's over.
20 minutes? Oh, shit.
Or it's $6.99.
Urban Chaos now.
It's mostly positive reviews on this game.
Interesting. That's just people, like, nostalgic about this game that they played a long time ago.
Oh, this is the Dreamcast version that released. Actually, last year, the PlayStation... Well, I said last year. The previous year was the PlayStation version. All right. So what else we got? We got Walt Disney's The Jungle Book, Mowgli's Wild Adventure on a Game Boy Color. Did you have this game, Dan?
Mowgli's Wild Adventure.
Play this on your emulator?
I might have, yeah. I don't want to call it off the top of my head, but I very well may have, Dominic.
All right, and also we have FIFA 2001, Major League Soccer on the PlayStation. I don't know who's on the front of this. I'm going to say it's a soccer player. All right, we also some news. South Peak Interactive. Let me go look.
They're the ones that made Two Worlds, I want to say.
Yes, that's it. That's it, yep. South Peak Interactive Corporation, the parent company, SAS Institute, sells the South Peak name and its games to an unnamed out-of-state buyer. The 70-odd remaining employees of South Peak were given the opportunity to move to their other jobs within SAS Institute. This happened 20 years ago. Yep, and yeah, the reason I mentioned them is because South Peak was the guys who worked on Two Worlds.
They were founded in Cary, North Carolina, where Insomniac is now. Wonder if any of those people ended up over there.
And also, just as 15 years ago, just to mention, Romancing Saga 3 on Super Nintendo was released. I said 15. I'm sorry, 25 years ago in Japan.
If only, Dominic, if only.
Yeah, Romancing Saga 3 was released. And you remember, like, just a few years ago, they had the remaster released of this game. But yeah, and that is it for the... Oh, no! I wanted to go back to this game. Yes, this is also the 20th anniversary of one of my favorite Final Fantasy games, Final Fantasy IX, on the PlayStation. I got this game in 2000 for Christmas. I mentioned this before. But, yeah, this is one of my favorite games. Now, like, looking back now that I've had years and I played all these Final Fantasy games now, Final Fantasy X was my favorite one for a little while because not only did it talk, but it had an alright story. It was very linear, but I can grasp the story a lot more than the previous games. So even 9, it went a little off. But you know what? I think overall, now that I played it again recently, I get the gist of it. Like, yes, it goes a little off, but so does 10. I'm like, I made 10, like, oh man, like this is really better than all Final Fantasies, like as far as story. It wasn't that much better. Now that looking back, I was like, yeah, when I become older and wiser and I can critique things a whole lot better, I realized, like, yo, 10, man, they went a little weird. They went a little weird, too. But 9, I think, as far as stories of all the Final Fantasies, as far as the modern Final Fantasies from the PlayStation on forward, its story is not as convoluted. I wouldn't say simple. I think 10 is actually a little more simple, but it gets a little messy, and which I think all Final Fantasy games tend to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I think with 9, I think the personalization of the characters is what makes that story a whole lot better than those other Final Fantasy games from 7 on forward on to 15, because you really go in depth of each character in this story, and like, they grow. They do grow as characters from the beginning to the end. Like the story of Zidane, the main character, you see how his story grows. You see how the princess grows. I mean, Vivi, Steiner, even the... because he's so... Like, Steiner's so stuck on loyalty, but then he has to learn what he's fighting for after a while. Mm-hmm. And then the comedy... It's just, it's so good, like, compared to other Final Fantasies. Like, the interactions between each other, it's like, man, this is like a fun adventure going with these guys. Like, I don't know, I seem like I'm more attached to them than I was with the other characters in the Final Fantasy games. I mean, I think the Final Fantasy games did okay. But Cloud was just so, you know, he always kept to himself something hidden. I mean... Like, he just would never open up. So, he's so closed off. And so was Squall. Squall was the same way on Final Fantasy VIII. There were people who were always, like, trying to brush things off, not try to show emotion, and try to, like, keep everything to themselves. Zidane was not like that. He was a, like, very outgoing guy. He was out there, like, he was always trying to have fun and do things, and, like, he was just so outgoing. Like, I like, you just, he, like, really makes you, brings people together, like, because of his energy. Like, he gives you that energy, and it's like, yeah, I like this dude. While, like, in Cloud and Squall's just getting, sometimes I would get frustrated. It's like, dude, just say something. Stop trying to hide and act all, like, cool and shit. Goddamn.
What?
Like, whatever. They always say, like, whatever. I don't care. I don't care. Whatever. No, Zidane, like, he actually, like, you have a problem, he'll say he actually what's wrong and things of that nature. I always like his interaction with Steiner, because Steiner didn't like him, because he didn't trust him, because he was a thief. Zidane was a thief. And Steiner's trying to protect the princess. And he's all the comical, like, guard, you know, is all in all of more. He's all morality and things of that nature. And Vivi is trying to get a sense of his own mortality at some point. He's the black mage, and like what he learns what he is, as you progress through the game. And it's great. Like, you got Freya. There's another thief, Zidane as somewhat of a rival. But he wanted to know, because he wanted to learn why Zidane is what he is. Like, he's just so, why does he do the things he do? And things of that nature. Like, he doesn't understand him. Like, because this guy's serious. I forgot his name. Armamont? The flaming something. I forgot his name. But he's like a real serious dude, but he doesn't know why Zidane is so freaking bright and everything. Like, what the hell's wrong with this dude? Like, why is he acting like this? But yeah, Princess Garnet, she's trying to know her role as to ruling her kingdom, Well, she's trying to get back to her kingdom because her mom seems to want to kill her now. So, but still, like, even when that happens, if they get it back, she has to be the princess and rule the kingdom that she doesn't know she's ready for. And she really has to, and she's trying to cope with that. And also find out, now she finds something else about her past also. It's, this game does a lot. And the battle system. The battle system was back to the old Final Fantasy days of four players. See, but being as though I never played those games, I just read about them. So I knew there used to be four players instead of three at a time when you get into battle. But that was cool. I was like, oh, cool. I can have another character with me there. And also, not everybody can have the same abilities, which is a neat refresher for me personally, since like the first Final Fantasy I ever played was 7. Mm-hmm. So 7 and 8, everybody can have everything. Everybody can have any kind of magic, you know, any type of stat, basically. Well, at least close to. I mean, it all depends what kind of weapon you equip. But still, you can all learn the same magics. You all get fire. You all equip somebody with fire. You all equip somebody right. with ice. Everybody can be mages, you know. So it's, everybody's the same thing. And this, you know, mages have specific powers. Everybody can use fire or anything. And Zidane is a thief, so he can steal things and do certain abilities. The only bad thing about the but one of the bad things about the battle system is that had to, like, the limit breaks, which they call trance, you couldn't choose when to use them. Like, technically, in 7, you couldn't do a regular attack, but you could just avoid using it. You know, you could just be like, okay, I'm just going to use my materia instead of my limit break because I want to save
it.
And this, it just happens regardless. No matter when or where. And it used to piss me off. It's like, I don't want to use it for this little chick monk. I said, what are we doing? And I said, yeah. And yeah, I never understood why they let that happen. The music in this game is great. This is probably the last one, apparently, that Unopsu, I believe his name is, he's been the composer of all the
famous composer.
Yeah, of all the Final Fantasies. This is like the last one where he did by himself. Composed it by himself. Other times he composed it with other people. After this game, it was always like he was one of the composers. But this is the last one he did. He composed himself. Also, this is the last one that the director was in full creative control, mostly. Yes, Hirobu Sabaguchi. This is the last one he had really full creative directing control over. This game, he was there for 10, but he wasn't like full control. And I don't know if he did 12. Like, I don't know if he touched 11, honestly, either. Mm-hmm. But 12, I'm not sure. But I think that at that point he was moving on to his own studio. But yeah, so this is almost like the last Final Fantasy. I mean, this is almost like the final Final Fantasy. This is the final one of the PlayStation generation, of that generation. And the strong fantasy aspect of it. Like, the mainline Final Fantasy games now, because even with 7 and 8, they're kind of going modern somewhat.
Yeah.
So, this kind of went back to the past, like, of the old knights, like, you know, mages and knights and things of that nature. And a real fantasy, like a fantasy in that way. And, which, that was refreshing for me, like I said, because I didn't play the older Final Fantasy. So, doing that was kind of cool to me, even though technically it's been a even longer time since I did that, because technically what 6 was kind of modernized, right? That wasn't like old Final Fantasy games. Yeah. That was that like setting
trains
was
and shit in there.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, they actually kind of made a risk by doing that. They probably but it worked out for them. And what else anymore I want to say about this game? Yeah, I think that's about it. Yeah, but like I said, this is like almost this is the end of the PlayStation generation, and from then on, this is also the last of them no speaking. Right? I mean, not counting 11, because I don't think they were speaking in that either. But this is the last one of with no voice acting that you had to read. So they moved on to voice acting, and sometimes, man, the way those voice actors are and the way that dialogue is, I kind of want nobody to say anything.
You know that's
kinda,
not true. Yeah.
No, I mean, I wanted to read, but man, some of mean, I wish the writing was better, but yeah. It was just like, God damn. I was like, what the hell you say? But yeah, this is like gave like a lot of memories. Like, I really enjoyed this game. Also gives me back memories of how awful that strategy guide was. Because that strategy guide, they want you, this is when Square had launched their Play Online. They're getting ready for the internet. And they was like, hey, if you want to know more, go to Play Online. I was like, I bought this goddamn strategy guide. And well, technically I didn't buy it. My friend bought it and he gave it to me because he realized how useless it was. He was like, this thing is horrible. I said, let me just take it. And I was using it and I was like, if you want to know more secret, go to playonline.com. I said, you sons of bitches. I got to go on my dial-up and tie up the phone lines so I can go look up to see how I do this. When you could have wrote in the goddamn book. And I think they heard people's complaints about that. I think they got my death threat letters, and that's when you did real letters. Well, you can still do emails, but I wasn't familiar with email yet. I wasn't familiar yet, Daniel. I still wrote letters in blood. And I wrote saying...
I thought you used them out of chopped up newspapers.
No, I didn't do that. That's too much work. I just put it like a little needle, a thread needle on my finger, and just wrote down in blood. Yeah.
So it was your blood, okay. Wasn't sure about whose blood it was.
Yeah, I wrote in saying, yeah, you better not ever do this again, or bad things would happen to him. All right, so there you go. And that is it for the flashback segment. So I guess we'll take a break, and when we get back, we get into the gaming news.
All right.
Let's hit the road. Came along, now my people here with me, I'm in my zone. Been around a block a time or two. I tell you where to go, I tell you how to move. I got longitude and latitudes. Keep it moving, that's my attitude. Looking back, I know they probably doubt me. Not a city on my back, I wear it proudly. I'm a hero in the making. If I'm dreaming, you can't wake me. I think I'm destined to win it. Ain't playing games, I ain't in it. Yeah. Took the message and sent it. Felt like I was born for this minute. This is my time. I'm seizing the moment, cause I gotta go for the time's gone. Ain't scared of the dark, cause I'm bringing the light with a nice long. I shine on. See it coming, I don't need a sign. This the moment, I'ma make it mine. This is my sign.
And we're back. And let's get into the gaming news. So what we got, Dan?
All right, Dominic. So 2K, the 2K Games, the guys behind Rockstar Games and 2K Sports and all that good stuff. Some quality WWE products, if you will. They have just picked up Codemasters, the guys
behind... Are you being sarcastic about the WWE?
No, they're great games. Great games, Dominic. Especially Battlegrounds and 2K...
God
20, whatever that is. So they picked up Codemasters, known for making games such as Dart, and also they recently picked up themselves Slightly Mad Studios, who makes Project Cars and also made that not so great Fast and Furious Crossroads game that came out not too long ago. It's been a big year for companies getting acquired here. I mean, Codemasters, like, they're basically just a racing studio, I guess. Like, if you're trying to fill out your portfolio, 2K didn't really have a studio making racing games, I guess. So it's a good pickup for them if you're looking for
someone to do that. I can't think of one, like something that's racing.
So now they can come out with Drive 2K22. And they'll just make a yearly franchise out of driving cars.
Yeah. Yeah, they sure
can. Or they can just have them work on Rockstar's driving cars, because that usually sucks. So just have them make driving games that actually feel good.
Yeah, I never understood how, like, who owns what. Like, Take-Two is under 2K?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. 2K technically owns them, and then they technically own Rockstar, I think.
about to say, so Rockstar is under Take-Two?
Yeah, I think that's how it is. That's how the hierarchy is.
Yeah, I just that's always like, what? How does that? Yeah, how that work?
Oh,
like,
no, I'm sorry. Take-Two is bigger than 2K, and then 2K owns all that stuff, like Rockstar and whatnot.
Oh, 2K actually owns Rockstar. So is that Take-Two just owns Rockstar? Right. I thought Take-Two owned Rockstar.
So they've got a list of the subsidiaries here. 2K subsidiaries. Why would I click more and then it not actually take me to that? That's stupid. Studios. All right. So maybe it is split up further than that. Maybe it's Take-Two owns Rockstar and 2K, and then 2K owns Cat Daddy Games, Cloud Chamber, Firaxis, Hangar 13, Visual Concepts.
Yeah.
And then one in China and 2K Vegas.
So I guess is that Take-Two is like, so 2K can acquire studios. Like, do they have to like go to Take-Two and say, hey, can we acquire the studio? Like,
can we borrow this money to take this? Yeah, what is Playdots? That's apparently owned by Take-Two as well. That looks like it makes phone games and stuff. Yeah, because they have Take-Two subsidiaries are 2K Games, Rockstar Games, Playdots, and who else here? And Ghost Story Games, which is the BioShock, Ken Levine stuff, yeah. Which nothing has come from. Private Division, Rockstar, Social Point. Yeah, I mean, that stuff's so complicated because, like, technically Google is owned by Alphabet, and then Alphabet owns a couple of other things because of the way they want to, like, skirt the law, probably.
Yeah. Alphabet soup.
You love the alphabet soup? I like the ones with the meatballs in them. Even though that's got to be questionable meat going in a can, I don't want to think about it anymore, Dominic.
No, it's real rat meat. I think it's
it preserves well.
I haven't had those soups in the cans and, oh my God, like SpaghettiOs forever.
Yeah.
Ever.
Oh, that I'm thing sure got to be so just as bad.
I'll be drinking and then, man, sodium count, man, be all up, man. Goddamn. Kill my ass.
Pretty much.
My pressure would just like shoot.
Uh huh. His arteries tighten. All right, Dominic. Deathloop. I believe we'd previously talked about how that was getting delayed. Or yes. Maybe we just found out that was getting delayed. I don't remember. But no,
we
talked about how it wasn't coming out at launch because originally it was a launch thing. Yeah, so now we have an official new date for that. That's May 2021.
That's close to my birthday.
Yeah, so we got a little ways out now. That game looks cool, but it's not something I'm, like counting down the days for. But I'm interested to see what that ends up being. Because, we've seen different things from it. Like, when they started showing off when they first showed off the trailer, it was like, oh, these two cool assassins are going head-to-head. And then we got that, gameplay trailer where it was like, oh, no, it's like this roguelike thing where you're actually going after a whole bunch of different assassins.
And it looked like it was just the black guy. I mean, just based on the trailer.
Yeah. And then the woman was like the antagonist. But then it seemed like maybe you could also play as her and maybe see it from like the opposite perspective or something. View.
Yeah. Then they show the other one that was a little bit more. But still, they want to see like someone actually play it to know what's really how you play this game.
Exactly. Yeah. So, well, now we've got time for them to show us more, Dominic. So, we'll see how that turns out.
Yeah.
Speaking of 2021, Dominic, we got Neo. That is going to get some next gen or current gen or new gen, however you want to call them now, PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X ports, okay, or upgrades, I guess you could say, coming out with remastered versions of both the original game and 2. And with 2, they're doing upgrades at no additional cost to the respective systems. So, like, if you have a PlayStation, or go to PlayStation, and so on and so forth. And what they're doing is actually kind of interesting, because there's the complete edition and then just the remastered edition. So the complete edition, of course, includes all the DLC, including the new one that's coming out in December now. But they do actually have like a base level one, so you can get the Neo 2 remastered edition for free upgrade. And you also get whatever DLC you may have purchased, or if you have all the DLC, then you have the entire game. And that's like such a better option than when you look at like Control, where they're like, no, oh, it's yeah, a brand new thing. You can't, you either buy all the DLC or you don't buy the game at all. And it's like, it, they just made it so complicated. Like this, when you're looking at it, like it took me a few times to read over it, because there's remastered and then there's remastered complete edition. And then there's the collection, which has both 1 and 2 in a nice little package. But when it's kind of spelled out, it's like, oh, okay, it makes sense. And it's actually the right way to handle these things, you know, and it's good on them to actually do it that way.
Yeah, exactly. It really is. Like when you spell it out, it's like, they're not hurting you. Cause they could have gone the route of saying Neo 2 remastered.
Yeah.
Is it, that's it. If you get that one on the, like if you get the remastered, Or if you have the original game, but the full collection, my fault. Do you have the collection? You put the collection on the PS4, then that's the only way you can do it. You can upgrade it. They didn't go that route. And that's definitely great on them. While Control did go that route because, you know, they want money. I mean,
yeah. And then they failed to deliver the game. So,
yeah.
Sucks to be them. All right, Dominic, we got some talk of wrestling here. As I mentioned WWE earlier, there was an ugly split between 2K and Yuke's on that last WWE game before Battlegrounds. And it sounds like, you know, AEW was able to swoop up and get their help now. Originally, Yuke's was supposed to be doing something like original that they wanted to be working on as like a side project. And that's seemingly part of the reason the split with 2K and WWE happened. But now AEW Games has announced 3 different games that they're coming out with. They're coming out with a manager-style game, like the football managers kind of thing, where it'll basically be like a fantasy booking. You can, you know, mess around with people and put them in different matchups and see the results. And then
that's,
you know,
cool, but that's just, is that just a phone game?
Yeah, it's just, you know, simplistic kind of thing like that.
I wish it was like on PC too or something. Mm.
Yeah, so far they haven't, it seems like it's just a phone thing, because they were talking about it alongside this other one. But I could see it maybe coming to PC. I mean, those games are very popular on the PC, so I would not be surprised if they did that, or even like a browser thing maybe, you know.
Yeah.
With constant updating and like tying it to actual television show or something like that. They're also coming out with a casino game, which is, I don't know. It's just weird. It's like, okay, you're just putting your brand on like one of these cheap casino, like blackjack type things on the phone. Like, if that's what you're going to do, sure, whatever, go for it. I have no interest. But the main one is an actual wrestling game. It's going to be developed by Yuke's. They're saying the right things, like they're talking about No Mercy. They actually brought the director of No Mercy and Def Jam Vendetta
to lead
this game. Yeah, because I was looking to see, I was like, when I first saw this, I was like, well, Yuke's also makes some bad wrestling games. Like, they've been in charge of the 2K wrestling games forever now, and yeah, I haven't really liked those.
That's why I was confused when I said, like, wait a minute, Yuke's, I said, I mean, I like early SmackDowns, but they've been around for a while. Like, they've been doing wrestling games for a while, so They didn't do bad ones, so why was everybody excited? But I was like, oh, they got the director of No Mercy, so okay, so that's good.
Yeah, yeah, he hasn't really done anything as far as directing games since No Mercy and Def Jam Vendetta, and Def Jam Vendetta was just rappers in No Mercy, basically. So, you know, if they give us one of those style games, I'm absolutely happy with it. They showed off some footage, I would say, not really gameplay stuff, of Chris Jericho and Kenny Omega in a match. They're very, like, kind of super deformed, cartoony, almost in a, like, WWE Superstars kind of way. I'm not huge on the look that they gave them, but hey, if the gameplay's there, that's really all I care about. Honestly, like, if you gave me a high-res version of No Mercy, like, literally with polygonal models and everything, with just, like, ridiculously high-res scans of the people's faces, you know, because they just used to have, like, a texture map for a face.
I used to like that.
Like, I would be totally into that. Just give me that. Like, I don't care. I mean, obviously, like, price it accordingly, like, make it like $20 or $30. But, like, if you just leaned into it, like, super heavy, and it's like, hey, you guys wanted No Mercy? Here's No Mercy. Like, I would be like, okay, you guys get what we're actually looking for here. So we'll see. I wonder when they'll actually show off some gameplay for this and kind of explain controls. Because even, like, gameplay videos isn't necessarily going to show me that this game plays the way I want it to.
But, yeah, exactly. You know. Like, does it feel better? Like, does it feel better than with the games we played before?
Yeah. Does it have you need to know that there's a hard grapple and a soft grapple when I hold down the button, and a hard punch and a light punch, you know, that kind of stuff. Like, that's what I need.
Yeah,
I mean, we shall see.
Yeah, I'm a little excited for this because I'm curious. And also, it really pushes AEW, like, hey, they, as of right now, they seem to be doing okay, that they actually put up a game, some games out there, and not just phone games. Mm-hmm. Like, it was one thing, it was a phone game. Say, you know, that's cheap.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. They're actually, you know, coming up as serious competition now. So,
yeah, exactly.
It's good on them.
And now, then Vince McMahon's going to buy them.
And then shut them down immediately.
Exactly. That's God.
Yeah. So, actually, while we're talking about wrestling stuff, I kind of want to mention it because it kind of fits into the video game world. So, I had talked previously about how they had, like, an edict that all the WWE superstars that had Twitch channels had to shut them down.
Yeah.
And all that stuff. Remember. So that date came and went now. Everybody's had their channel shut down. I think Paige might still be streaming because basically she's like, fuck it, you guys don't put me on television. Like, what are you going to do anyway? Like, she literally had this passionate thing, like, right at one of the end of the days where she's like, you took my fucking neck away from me because, you know, she messed up her neck real bad. She can't wrestle anymore. She's like, you took my neck away from me. You took wrestling away from me. I'm not letting you take this away from me now. Meanwhile, other people like AJ Styles, you know, just said, you know, I might be gone for a while, you know, letting his fans know, but shutting his channel down. So this past weekend, they actually announced, or maybe it's Friday, I think, that Zelina Vega, who was working as, like, the valet slash manager for Andrade for a while since, like, NXT, and she's been doing a good job, and they actually got her to be wrestling a little more. She had a match against Asuka, like, at one of the last couple of pay-per-views. They've released her, and there aren't really a lot of details, but it seems like it has to do with basically her saying that, you know, she didn't want to give up her channel. And now stuff's coming out that, like, she was making more money on Twitch than she was from the WWE. And that's not entirely surprising. Like, some of the figures that I've seen for Paige going around are just absolutely insane. Now, there's a lot of people out there saying basically, like, oh, yeah, that, you know, it might be high now, but that's not really sustainable because it's like gift subs. And it's basically like the generosity of your fans that you're basing on, right?
Yeah,
like, that's not a consistent thing.
Yeah, exactly.
So obviously there's that component to it. Ironically enough, like moments before the announcement that she was being released on Twitter, she tweeted that she supports unionization. So it was like a really bad look on WWE's part, because it was like literally, I want to say like 5 or 10 minutes after that they announced her release. So everybody's like, oh, did she just get fired because she tweeted that she's in support of unionization? And now it sounds like the president of SAG-AFTRA is maybe in talks with her, and is more open to possibly bringing in wrestlers, which to me makes absolute sense. I mean, like, obviously these people are actors. They're also athletes in a way, but you also have stuntmen under SAG-AFTRA.
And that's what I would say they are. They're more stuntmen than like an athlete, like NFL. Man, that's not a way of like negative or anything. That's just saying that that's what they are. I mean, they stuntmen put their lives in danger, just like these guys are doing the same thing. You know, for entertainment. And so, what's the difference? What's really the difference?
Yeah. Exactly.
Just, and they're actors who do their own stunts. And, they're actors who do their own stunts, basically. They're all they're Jackie Tom Chan.
Exactly. And it had me thinking, like, watching The Mandalorian last night, like, Sasha Banks is on there. Does that mean either that she's a part of SAG-AFTRA already, or that she's now eligible for that? Like, I don't know 100%, like, what the rules are to get into that. But it would be interesting if Twitch is the reason that unionization actually ends up happening in wrestling, or at least in WWE. Like, that would, for no reason, because like there's no reason that WWE needs to get involved in this stuff. Like, they could, I could see them saying, hey, look, these characters belong to us, you need to stream under your own names, you know, you're not Zelina Vega, you're not Paige, you're Soraya, you know, that kind of thing. But it seems crazy to think like, oh no, we're just shutting your channel down. And especially for these people that are making quite a bit of money and aren't in this day and age right now, because they're not doing house shows, you know, so they're getting paid less. There's the merch sales probably are down because there aren't house shows to push that stuff.
Yeah.
Like, to just take another avenue of resources away from these wrestlers, it just seems unnecessary. Like, unless you're making these deals with Twitch and trying to get bigger deals or something like that for your wrestlers. But it doesn't seem like what it is. It seems like WWE, and more specifically probably Vince McMahon, wanting to be in control of everything related to anyone that works for him, even though they don't technically work for him because they're independent contractors who definitely work for him because they can't do anything else, including even doing Twitch in their own spare time, which is
insane. That is crazy. Yeah, that is insane. I mean, like I said, about the licensing thing, maybe you say, hey, you can't use it, even though I'm thinking that, especially if they still working for you,
yeah,
like they're still under contract,
and maybe, you know, make sure they're not doing anything like explicit or something like that, right? But
maybe you should say, like, look, as long as you look, you gotta sign this contract that you can't do these things
on, yeah, like a decency clause or something like that. But I think that stuff is already in their contracts, so I don't it's amazing.
I would think, being a public face, you can't do that. You can't just do anything.
Yeah. Because there's a difference between Leonardo DiCaprio, who you know as Leonardo DiCaprio, and then like a character like the guy in Django Unchained or something, and a Kevin Owens, who you look at and you're like, oh, you see him on the street and you're like, oh, that's Kevin Owens. You don't think that's, you know, Kevin Steen or whatever his real name is, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You know, there's not the same disconnect, but they
hit him with a chair.
Exactly. Healing it up over here. Yeah. So it's real weird right now, but it seems like it's definitely going an interesting route, and I can't help but wonder what.
And I had a feeling she was going to be the one, too. When you tell me about this, like, if something was going to happen, something was going to happen, something big was going to happen with Paige. I ain't know what. I was like, Paige, it's going to be big with her.
Yeah. It definitely seems like between her and Zelina, like, there definitely could be some very large repercussions for the entire industry that come out of this, because what does unionization mean? Like, AEW allows their people to do Twitch streams. In fact, they promote them. But would unionization mean that then a unionized wrestler could not work for AEW if they're not a union endorsed company or something like that? Cause you hear about stuff like that where it's like, oh, this is a union actor, they can't work on a non-union project or something like that.
I wonder why wrestling, they couldn't try to do something like, do Twitch. Like, they couldn't do their own channel and have their wrestlers be up there. I mean,
there's speculation that that's what they might be trying to do, is like a WWE channel, and then it'll be like, oh, well, at 2 o'clock, AJ, that's your block, and at, you know, 4 o'clock, Xavier Woods, that's when you get to come on. But and then it becomes their job, right? As opposed to, like, at least with Paige, it seems like there's a lot of catharsis that she gets out of being able to stream on Twitch and develop this community that she has for herself.
Yeah, I can see that. Cause then it's also them controlling more. It's hard. I mean, it's like, I'm still more on Paige's side, but I can see from the WWE standpoint too. Plus,
That's the thing, though, is like, what I see from the WWE standpoint is like, they own the characters, you know, they should be able to dictate how those characters are used.
Yeah, but just like, you have to be your name. You have to say your name. Yeah. Now, so you can control name. What people call you, though. Like, people say, hey, you have Paige.
Yeah.
They say, hey, how you doing? I mean, just like if I see Bill Murray, I'm going to call him Venkman. From Ghostbusters,
and then he goes, "Excuse me, sir, that is a property owned by the Fox Corporation." Yeah, no, and that's not, you know, that's not on her to figure out. But if all the, you know, things around her channel and her channel name and everything is Soraya, then, you know, you can't control.
Yeah, exactly. That's all it should do. They should just say
her for that.
Yeah, that's all you should say, is that you can't use the name right now.
Yeah. I don't know. There was some weird stuff where they were trying to, like, literally copyright people's actual names and basically argue that they owned people's names and likenesses. I mean, that part's weird, though, right? It's like their likeness. I can understand why. Maybe every wrestler should have to get prosthetics when they appear on television, just so they can copyright their exact look, right?
It's just, that's crazy. That is,
yeah.
It's like, I own you. So you sign this, I own you forever.
I mean, that's basically what these contracts are trying to make them say. It's insane. And I don't know. It sounds like I was reading something on Reddit where they said, you know, some wrestlers have argued this in the past, and in court they basically said, hey, you signed the contract, you knew what you were getting into. And then all these other people were like, well, that doesn't make any sense, because there are contracts that are illegal. Just by being a contract doesn't make it legal. So therefore that doesn't hold up. And I know people like Brock Lesnar have actually taken them to court for their contracts, for like no compete clauses and stuff like that, because they're contractors, they're not employees, and have actually won against them. It sounds like it's more just, you want to avoid the potential for getting blackballed in the industry, one, because WWE is so big and for so long was the only option. A guy like Brock Lesnar is not going to care about that, obviously. At that time he thought he was going to play football for the rest of his life. And then you also just don't have the money and time to spend in court to try and fight it. You know, WWE basically has endless amounts of cash to sit you in court forever and basically drain you dry, right? So they don't have to win. They just have to keep playing long enough until you run out of money and can't fight it anymore, you know? So yeah, it's an interesting time outside of the ring right now for wrestling, but it's so interesting that it all hinges around like our gaming streaming site, Twitch, you know? All right, Dominic. So in some other news, we talked previously about the Spider-Man remaster for the PS4, and how they actually weren't going to have save transfers between the two, even though like Miles Morales was going to include that. It sounds like enough people made some noise about that they're actually going to be adding save transfer. Sounds like it's around Thanksgiving, which is nice because that's if I were to get a PlayStation 5 at some point and get that game, I would want to be able to jump into my new game plus with all my costumes and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly.
I've already played that game twice. You know, I want to just be able to enable all that stuff and play all the things I have, all the abilities, the speed and all that stuff.
And
I don't want to start over.
How, like, even if you like playing that game, like I like playing that game, but I don't know if I'm going to go and collect everything all over again.
Exactly.
Like, I don't mind collecting some things, but collecting that, doing all the secret pictures again, mm-hmm. like, nah, that's, I don't want to do all that stuff again. That gets a little too old too fast. Like, doing that one time is fun, but I don't want to do, that's not something I find fun. Like, oh yeah, I like just going around and doing that again. I can do that every now and then. Like, I don't mind if I see something like, oh, it's a picture right here. But then I'm like, I'm taking these pictures when I'm playing the old game. I'm like, wait a minute, I'm max leveled. I can't get anything more. I got everything. Yeah. It's like I'm still taking these pictures just for reasons. But now I'm like, I'm getting nothing out of it no more. So, but yeah, I don't want to. That's, oh my God. That's like me going to Assassin's Creed and collecting flags again or something like that. The old Assassin's Creed, like doing that again. Oh, that was horrible.
Don't even.
The first time.
Feathers.
Well, that was worse because you didn't get anything from that shit.
No.
Or achievements. Well, PlayStation, you didn't because achievement trophies didn't exist at the time. Yeah. But yeah, I'm glad that they're finally doing it. But the way they pushed it was that the reason like they couldn't do it, but the way they insinuated, I mean, I don't have the direct tweet or quote that they said why they couldn't do it. But the way it was talked about was like, because it's like a new game or something like that. Like it's on a different system and it's like, it can't be done or something. And I wait and I heard people defending that. Now that I see this happen, I'm like, so what's the defense now? What's the defense now? Like that's bull.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why couldn't you do that before? And I saw some people saying like how people shouldn't complain now that they did it. They didn't have to do it. And I was like, no, it still should be a complaint because they said it like they couldn't do it. It can't be done. Like it can't be done. So you tell me it could be done. I think this is something that should have been done. Like that, or at least tell us it's coming initially. Like y'all weren't going to do it. And yeah. I think that's pretty fucked up now knowing that you could do it.
Mm-hmm. They just didn't want to put in the work, Dominic.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of Sony not wanting to necessarily put in the work, they came out and basically said, like, hey, if you guys want 1440p support on the PlayStation 5, we need to see, like, a large swath of people asking for it. We're making TVs a priority. It sounds like that's kind of where what their argument is we're supporting things like 4K because there aren't really a lot of 1440p televisions. It's mainly computer monitors that people would be hooking these things up to actually see the advantage of that. And, you know, for me, who has a 1440p monitor that does 120 frames per second, I would get more of a benefit out of hooking my console up to that than I would out of my 1080p, you know, 60 frame per second television.
Yeah, exactly.
So the idea that they're like, yeah, we don't really care about that is kind of like, ah, come on, guys. Like, how much work is it to actually make that a supported resolution? I mean, I'm sure it's not.
I tweeted that I want it. I mean, that's as much help I can do, Dan. But
I appreciate it.
That is ridiculous. Like, if people beg enough, well, didn't anybody just say, hey, we want it? Come on. Yeah. Well, what do you mean by beg? Like, we got to keep, okay, so more death threats. Good God. There's people, they're just asking to be threatened. They're just asking for these death threats.
just so you know, Dominic, beg is my word. That's not their word. That wasn't their word.
It's just,
they said it without using the word, but they basically said, you know, we need to see people ask for this enough to, you know.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to ask all right. But it's like, yeah, what the hell? These people really try to get away with a lot of shit. It's like, yo, I'm buying your $500 console. Yo, just give me the support. You're going to get your money.
Yeah.
You're going to get your money. God damn. Yeah, I don't. Yeah, that's just weird that they were in the 1440p. And then you hear people, oh, God, that's commenters. They're just saying, like, you need to just get a 4K anyway. It's like, you need to just get the future. It's like, yo, fuck yourself, yo. Hope that shit breaks on your ass.
Especially the ones with the nice ones. Yeah, screw you guys.
Yeah.
Your OLEDs and whatnot. All right, Dominic. N7 Day just passed a couple of days ago as of recording this. And along with that came a new announcement for Mass Effect. In addition to them saying that there is a team working on the next Mass Effect adventure, they announced the Legendary Edition, which will include the first three games and all the DLC and whatnot, and that's coming out in spring 2021 for the PC, PS4, and Xbox One. So their timing is not particularly great. It sounds like they are going to add, like, next-gen enhancements. Like some of the games right now do, like a Gears of War 5 or something like that. But it really feels like they're coming into this a little late to be releasing on these consoles with talk of enhancements.
Yeah, I'm thinking like, oh, this is going to be the PS5. I mean, it's going to be on PS4, but we do have big enhancements for the PS5 and the Xbox Series X. But when I read it again, I thought, was this, like, delayed because of COVID? Was it supposed to come out this year? Or was it supposed to come out early? Was it supposed to come out at an earlier time? Yeah.
I wonder, like, if early this year, you know, it would have made a lot more sense.
Yeah. Like, was it going to be a surprise to come out? Because, I'm like, darn. So it's not going to be as big as enhancements as it possibly could be, because it's probably really made for these current-gen consoles. I mean, the ones we're, the current-gen consoles. So that's a little disappointing, but I mean, we're finally getting it. Though this game, honestly, probably should have came out years ago if he was going to do this. Yeah. But I am still excited for this because I'm curious of what they'll actually do. Though, from what I heard a rumor that they're not going to be totally revamping the first one. So that's a little disappointing. I just want to know what these games look like. Like, if I played it on a PC, like someone says, I play these games on a PC where it looks better than on the consoles, are they going to look that much, like, how much better are they going to look? Like, current state PC?
Yeah.
How much these games are going to look better? Because if they just clean up graphics, I'm a little disappointed. Yeah,
we've got a version. Like, it's got to be already, more. Exactly.
Yeah, and I mean, that's good for people for consoles. If you just play it on consoles, then, you know what? Then this is all right. But that means for me personally, it wouldn't be enough. Like, it has to be more. It has to be a lot more to just this being like all these games in one package and HD'd up even more. It's like, it needs to be more than that. I mean, I'm still a little excited for them. I'm still a little excited for this. Because I do, like, I'm getting an itch, like, oh, I want to play this game again. So now we're late for the Legendary Edition.
Yeah.
But I thought also that, oh, yeah, next gen, baby. Like, they're going to really look good. But now I'm thinking, like, oh, it's probably going to just be like how some of these other games, they look better on next gen because it runs better, but it's not like a really like mind blowing. It's not going to be like Miles Morales from PS4 to PS5 or something like that. Yeah, kind of update. Yeah. Like it's not going to be something they put a whole lot of work on, but maybe they do. I don't know, but it doesn't sound like it.
Yeah, and I really wonder what they are going to do with one because that game plays so differently than the other two. It sticks out.
I guess it just load faster, maybe.
I guess.
I mean, even on the current gen, maybe it just loads. Like maybe much the load shorter times, elevator like elevator rides, elevators. Yeah, they'll take long because they didn't take as long on PC when I played it.
Yeah, but like the menu system, like all that changed so much. Like I can't help but wonder if they would put at least some effort into mixing that up. But I would imagine that would be kind of fundamental to the game. So you would be doing a lot of work to make that game in line with those other two. Or if you could maybe take the engine of one of the other two and, you know, basically remake the game over top of that somehow without too much work.
Yeah, I don't know. That's why I'm curious how this edition is. I mean, I hope it's, because I want it to be like a great remake. Yeah. Like, I don't want it to be just prettied up graphics and that it runs at 60 frames. Like that's cool, but I want more. Like I want a little bit more than that. I want a little bit more.
Yeah, like this is almost a thing that you could see them releasing on the Switch. Is like, oh, here you can play all of these on the go now. But yeah, like you kind of want to just have them wait a little longer and make a full remake of that first game, and not to say you're changing the story a whole bunch or anything like that, but just, you know, modernizing everything.
Yeah, exactly. Like, because like you could pretty up those planets because those planets were bare. You know, you draw up in the Mako, and just around. Like do something with the Mako to make it easier to transverse those planets.
Add some Jawas out there that you can run over or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, those guys. Yeah, exactly. Those sad people.
Them too. Yeah. All right, Dominic. Speaking of Twitch, as we were talking about earlier, they've got their own shit going on that is not making streamers happy right now. There's been a lot of DMCA takedowns. So if you've got copyrighted music in there, whether it be soundtracks, you know, of popular pop songs or whatever, or apparently just the video game that you're playing normally as well.
Yeah, I know. That's why in Grand Theft Auto, they people turn their music off.
But that's such a city experience, like playing Tony Hawk or something like that. It's like I don't want to say half the experience, but a large portion of the vibe that you get from Tony Hawk is that music. And like having to sit there and listen to it without it is just like, this is lame.
So like, that's the thing. So you could even say play your own music, but your own music, you say they take that down too. So what would you play? You gotta create your own music.
They're putting stuff out now. Like they have a Twitch soundtrack type thing, which is probably like license free music that they've like whitelisted or something like that. Cause
that's not the same.
No, not at all. And it sounds like, you know, that's kind of their elevated thing. Music. Exactly. Yeah, it sounds like that's kind of like their Band-Aid right now, but they're not doing a great job of... I've seen a lot of people compare what YouTube does to this, and YouTube, like, they'll give you a strike or something like that, but they don't, you know, take further steps. It sounds like Twitch just maybe doesn't have the system in place to handle, like, temporary locks and stuff like that to give people warnings in the way that they probably should for this stuff, or like even the appeals process of saying like, hey, this is just game from the music or music from the game. Like, what's happening here? Like, get your shit together.
Yeah. So that's why I guess Fuser is not really being played right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's a huge portion of it. I've heard other podcasts talk about how basically with that, you can't monetize on your stream. I think it was the Cheap Ass Gamer CADcast that I was listening to, and Cheapy was talking about basically that. Like, you can't monetize at all. You can't put up VODs, like videos on demands. You can't put up clips because they'll instantly get flagged for the music in them. It's really, you can stream and that's it, and then it's gone. But you can't put like your chip jar on the front of there or anything. You can't make it look like you're making any money off of this thing. And I guess from there, like if you wanted a VOD of it, you can put it up on YouTube and contend with their DMCA stuff. But yeah, it sounds like Twitch is just not happening. And you were telling me like Fuser was at the top of the charts there for a while.
It was.
So it seems like, and this like, may have hit them hard.
Like when did Fuser come out? Because I was
last,
going on Twitch.
Like end of last week. Kind of thing, or early
okay.
this week.
Because when I was looking up there, and I just saw Fuser, I didn't know what it was. Because I mean, now I remember talking yeah. about it, but I just didn't even remember. And I was like, "What is this?" And I saw people were DJ, freaking, because you get a DJ device, right? Like, with
I don't think so, but I think it's like on screen DJ stuff.
Oh well, those people look like they had some real.
I mean, they might have. Maybe they like. Taking their mixers or something and tied the keys to like the keyboard keys or whatever.
Oh, okay. But yeah, and it looked cool. What was happening up there? I said, okay, this is like the next rock band thing, I guess. And yeah, it was up there. It was like one of the top five or so. It was like on that first row. I know yeah. that. Looking at it from my Xbox, and yeah, now go up there, man. It's not. I don't see it. Like it must be down real low. Like if somebody's even playing it, and they probably this ain't get caught yet. Maybe. But yeah, it's crazy. And you told me about this Twitch band thing, so I was like, oh, so that's yeah. why. That's why it's not like it's like up there anymore. And when people realize they couldn't make no money from it either, because why those people for a lot of people who are you know mm-hmm. they have subscribers and stuff and. People who donate, and it's like, oh, okay, so that's not going to be streaming this game. Just have to play on my own time.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's kind of sucks, because it's... And Fuser put this out, right? They put that out saying that they don't want nobody monetizing their
yeah,
game.
Yeah, that's part of the rules of their streaming, probably to do with the licensing of the music and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and I think that... That more so hurts them than helps them, because I feel like people see those people playing those mm-hmm. games, they might get
it. Yeah, I mean, we've talked about like, the benefits of streaming games when people come out with really bad takes about how like the publisher should be getting paid by the streamer or whatever. It's like, no, it's kind of a symbiotic relationship. Like, sure, they're getting a game that they can develop content off of, but you're potentially getting sales from that content because people are getting interested in it.
Yeah, I want to know how this works. I want to know how far this would go. Like, if Twitch doesn't work out something. Because, yeah. like, having no music for some of these games, it's just...
I'm going to start Twitch for the Deaf, Dominic. There's no audio whatsoever.
Yeah, and then, like, you not putting your own music. I'd be hearing, like, the different kind of music people have in mm-hmm. the background, things of that nature. And some people be asking, like, oh, what's this song? Because they go look yeah. at it or something. But, that's something else, man. That's something. Oh, well, I mean, I sort of get it because of likes and stuff. But then again, it's that, man, you're not, I don't feel like, it's not really like stealing music because I'm hearing it while somebody's talking over it.
It's not like I'm just putting that on my iPod and I'm ripping it from their stream and putting it on my iPod. Like, oh, hey, Twitch subscribers. All those fucking sounds that pop up when somebody subscribes and follows and all that
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. It's so weird. Like, everything is... At the same time as, like, a... content owner, I understand like wanting to be able to control that stuff, but at a certain point, once it's out on the internet, like it's the internet's and it's you can't control it. So either you don't use the internet and you rely on playing fucking music on a street corner somewhere and hoping that no one ever videotapes you and makes you go viral, or, you know, like Dave Chappelle making you put your phone in a bag so that you can only have the experience that time there. I don't know what you do in this day and age, Dominic.
Yeah, I don't. All right, so what else we got, man?
All right, Dominic, so we got some bad news earlier today that I saw. Capcom, there was a data breach there. It sounds like there was definitely some employee data that was compromised, some HR data even, and also
Resident Evil 8.
Yes, yes. That's the thing. Like, I don't know. At least what I saw, it was just all reporting about the actual data that was stolen. There was potentially also some customer information, but it sounds like not credit card information, because that was done through like a third party company. But definitely like homes and addresses, and like for employees, it was things like signatures, and there were even instances of like people's passport information.
Oh, good. Because I need to know where they are so I can go knock on the door and see, like, hey, how's that Resident Evil 8 and 4 remake doing?
Stop working on Monster Hunter games. Give us give us more Resident Evil. Give us Dino Crisis, please.
And make Beautiful Joe.
There you go. Oh, now we're talking. Yeah. Yeah, so it sounds like that's not great. But yeah, I haven't seen a lot of stuff like, hey, these are the games that they're working on necessarily. I don't know if that is just, you know, off on a different part of the server that, you know, was not compromised or what. But yeah, I haven't seen a lot of talk of that kind of stuff coming out of this. And maybe it's partially just because you'll see some sites saying like, hey, this information was accessed through illegal means. Like, we're not going to talk about it and encourage this kind of stuff. We've seen that previously.
I don't even know how. I don't even know how to do it.
Yeah, so it seems questionable. They haven't confirmed whether customers' information has been accessed yet, but it sounds like it's in an ongoing investigation right now, and they're trying to figure that out. So that's... it's not great. Seems like all these companies have far less quality internet security than you would hope for what seems like a very large company. I think from what I've learned from working at somewhat large companies or interacting with other larger companies, it's actually surprising how like not together these companies have it. You know, it's like, oh, you think this company is big name, like, oh, Capcom, everybody knows them. And then it's like just one guy like doing IT, and he saves all the passwords in like a notepad file or something like that. Like, that would not surprise me at all entirely.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's crazy. All right, Dominic. So you were telling me about these Watchdog bugs. Like, I had heard a little bit about it, but it sounds like people basically weren't able to finish the game at some points.
Yeah. I don't know. It's like a timer. It's almost like almost how much time you were playing the game. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I didn't check this. This is like all the games or just the Xbox Series X one?
I know I had seen a lot of reports of the Xbox one. I don't remember if I had seen anything for the PlayStation.
Yeah, I think it's the Xbox Series X one. Like, it seemed like they get to a certain, not even a point of the game, just how much play time, and it would just crash. And a lot of people, they couldn't get it, they couldn't play it. I mean, well, they could play it, but it's just that they would keep crashing. It got frustrating, and they had to complain. They finally did patch it, though. Ubisoft did patch it, but I know like the reviewer for Game Informer said like, I couldn't, like he couldn't finish the review.
That's crazy.
because of this game breaking bug, basically. And, yeah. So it got all fixed up.
Yeah.
It got all fixed. So that's good. But yeah, I mean, this also coincides with, you know, here are some problems with the systems, but which you normally get with early system adopters. Yeah. Some of these systems had problems, you know. The PlayStation had one where even the guy, Twitch streamer, his basically bricked. And it was because, and I think Jeff Gerstmann confirmed it, not that his brick, but there is a problem where in Spider-Man, if you leave it on or something.
Yeah, if you're running the Spider-Man remaster and you put it into rest mode, it basically crashes the system. And then you have to go through that. Like, if you have a PS4, you might be familiar with, like, the power going out in the wrong way, and you have to do the rebuild database thing.
Yeah, I hate that.
Yeah, I had to do that when I came back because mine had lost power at some point during the week.
And it, yeah, so I don't know about that being fixed because, I mean, his got bricked. I mean, unfortunately for him, his bricked when that happened. Others, they have to just go through that mode. But hopefully it's just, those are just isolated instances, you know? Or something they can patch in for that Spider-Man game. I mean, maybe something with that game that does that. But it's, yeah, hopefully these, and over the Xbox with the disk drive making a loud noise. I've heard that a few systems have done that. But hopefully, like I said, those are just isolated incidences and that it's not a red ring of death kind of thing where, oh man, all these people are having these problems. Yeah, it's just like you're always going to get these problems with early console releases. I mean, or just any time you get a console. You get a few of them are going to be bad, but very few. Like, percentage-wise, it's usually very few.
Yeah.
So hopefully that's what it is. That's what it is. Like, you hear this every console release, you hear people have problems.
Yep. All right, Dominic, in response to this Watch Dogs bug, someone apparently swatted the Montreal office of Ubisoft. And that's not necessarily true. No. That's not why this happened. Who knows why this happens? Who knows why people do these things besides being terrible? But apparently someone called in a fake hostage situation at the office. And of course, police, you know, arrived and inspected. And it sounds like everything's all clear there. But like, we've seen this go extremely bad. And I think in like an office building, it would maybe go a little better because you're not going to someone's personal home who might react in a, you know, might be like, why the fuck are the cops here? You know, at least like in an office building, like, oh, you'll get the security guard at the front door, especially like a Ubisoft, you know, it'll be like, there's probably a security guy at the front desk. The police can be like, hey, we heard there's a hostage situation. And you can be like, oh, I didn't hear anything about that. What's going on? You know, and kind of alert people on different floors and whatnot. But I'm sure, you know, an office situation could go just as bad as a home situation at any given time. And
because panic, again, we know it causes panic and mass panic and things can go wrong. Yeah.
Yeah. And you're talking about a hostage situation. Like, it's insane. I don't know what is wrong with people, Dominic. Why?
Like, well, because what is Beyond Good and Evil 2 hasn't.
Maybe that's what it is.
They don't know the future of that.
I don't want to say this because I don't want to put it out into the world, but what if it was Michel Ancel?
Oh, yeah. Oh, Michel Ancel done it. Himself. Oh.
He was like, oh, you put me out. You said I sexually harassed people or something.
But yeah, but this is, that's ridiculous. And that was serious, like all those policemen. And then, especially as looking at the early tweets of them still thinking it's real and saw people on the roof thinking like, oh, it's like 50 people up there on hostages, like this news program was saying. It's like, good God. I said, damn. Just for a laugh. Or I mean, I don't know what it was for, but it was. I mean, it's a prank. It's just like, God, come on, man. Just use the rubber fart things, man, and put on the cheers. And
there we go.
Yeah, just now we're do talking. That.
Plus, you're tying up resources that could be used, you know, exactly. Elsewhere.
They gave a bad hostage takers a bad name with this because now people ain't gonna believe them. It's exactly. Like, oh, this ain't real.
And cried wolf way too many times.
This is just swatting. You say whatever. And then they can't get their demands.
Yeah. Exactly. They just want a pizza and a helicopter out of there. Come on.
Exactly.
We've all seen the movies. Yeah. All right, Dominic. So you see anything else for this week that we've been going?
Nah, I think I'm good. I think I'm good.
All right. We got some new releases, Dominic, and since consoles came out, we got a decent amount here. I kind of broke them up into kind of this gen or past gen, whatever you want to call it,
okay,
stuff first, and then kind of grouped them all together. So first up, we got Need for Speed Hot Pursuit, the remaster. That's now out on the Switch. We had previously talked about that coming out on the other consoles. We got Fuser. That's out on PC.
Oh, I'm sorry. I played a very little of Need for Speed Heat.
Okay.
Very little of that. I mean, it's okay, but when I messed up, I couldn't rewind, and it disappointed me, Daniel. Disappointed.
Is that part of the EA Play on Game Pass stuff? Okay.
And I did like a couple of early races. It's a story mode, almost like Fast and the Furious kind of thing. And
gotcha.
I didn't. I think a police officer did catch me. Like it was a timer, like because I hit something, and then I think it's like I forgot what it says. But I think if it's get fully colored, then it's like, oh, you got caught.
Gotcha.
So I got caught one time, but it's like a story almost similar to Fast and the Furious kind of deal here, except for I mean, I don't think I'm not undercover cop or anything, but. But it seems like it's about oldest group of people, and we're just racing because we love racing.
For the love of the race.
Family. Yeah. But like I said, if there was a rewind button, just like in Forza, I would play this game probably a lot more. I would probably play it, but I just don't want to because I'm going to get frustrated because I don't know how to drift that good.
Yeah. All right. We got Fuser. We talked about that a little bit earlier. That's out on PC, Switch, PS4, and Xbox One. We also got the 13 remake, which is out on PC, PS4, and Xbox One. That's not fair and so hot. Reviews are not very good. Yeah. And
how's Fuser? How's that doing? That's doing
Fuser,
good?
Fuser, I think, is getting some pretty positive buzz. I think people are thinking that's a cool concept. And I want to say that's on the cheaper side of things, too. Like, it's not a full-price game, I want to say. But, yeah, I've been hearing a lot of positive talk about that on the podcast that I listen to. So that's cool. And the 13 remaster, like, they took out the cell shading, which is... Well, I'd like to say they minimize the cell shading because there is still some there.
Yeah, there's still
some. I heard some people talking about it and basically saying that it's not cell shaded anymore. It still is, but not to the extent that original game was. And that was the hook of that original game. Like that was.
Oh, definitely.
That was around the time that like Wind Waker came out and like it was the hot shit to be cell shaded. And this one is just kind of bland because of it, because they got rid of that stuff.
Wasn't a game called like Shell Fighters or something like that?
Yeah. There was Cell Damage that was like
maybe that's
car
what it was.
Combat one.
Yeah, okay, Cell Damage, that's what it was.
Yeah, that was a car combat, like Twisted Metal, Vigilante 8 kind of thing that was all cel-shaded.
Yeah.
Cartoony.
All that stuff came out around there.
Yeah. All right, we also got Just Dance 2021. That's out on Nintendo Switch, PS4, Xbox One, and Stadia. I'm sure next generation versions of that would not follow far behind, or maybe they're just like, hey, they work on the PS5 and the Xbox Series X, so like, why put the extra work into making them prettier? Because they're Just Dance games, and the people that are going to buy these games are just going to buy them anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
basically.
So we got that. We also got Kingdom Hearts Melody of Memory. That's out on the Switch, PS4, and Xbox One. So if you're looking for a different kind of music game, you got all your bases covered this week.
Yeah, it's with Kingdom Hearts music.
Yeah.
So is that the Disney music? Which, I mean, I like the Kingdom Hearts, well, the games I did play.
Mm-hmm.
Three, I don't have anything memorable, but one and two, I did like the music in them. So... Like the melodies, you know, not like sing. Well, I don't know. Maybe they may have some of those. If they had some of those ones and two where they sang, they were awful. So I would think those would be bad.
Yeah.
But the actual instrumental, like music and melodies, they were pretty good. I listened to one reviewer, but a reviewer from Game Informer, she played it, and she said that it's a pretty good game, and that if you were disappointed in the ending of three, you'll the ending of this game was pretty good. Was definitely, it's more satisfying.
That's such a weird thing to hear.
Yeah.
The ending of this music game is much better than the ending of this epic saga that you've been playing for years.
Yeah. Very, yeah.
So weird. All right, Dominic. Now we got some Xbox Series X games, kind of the exclusives. There's also a ton of games that were on the release list as far as stuff that's getting upgrades like Maneater and Gears 5 and stuff like that, but I kind of left them off. Bright Memory, that's the one that was like made by a single Chinese developer.
And this is exclusive to just Series X. I can't play it on the normal Xbox One.
Correct, yeah. And also, you can play it on PC as well. It's kind of been out there for a while now.
Well, yeah, it's been out for a while for PC, yeah.
From what I saw the reviews, though, it sounds like this is not a good port of this game. So maybe avoid that if you're actually wanting to play this game.
See that's disappointing. PC version.
Yeah, it's one of the first next-gen games that I've heard something kind of bad about so far. Yeah, so there's that. There's also Tetris Effect Connected for the Xbox One and Series X, which we talked about earlier when you were talking about playing that. And there's Yakuza Like a Dragon that's out on the PC, PS4, Xbox One, and Series X.
And later, maybe next year for the PS5. Yeah. They had a date. Did they have a specific date?
I believe they did.
But I'm hearing some good things about this game. I'm excited to try it out eventually at some time. But after I play the Yakuza, after I finish Trails, this Trails game I'm playing now, I'm going to start Yakuza Kiwami 2. Okay, on that.
Yeah, it looks like March 2nd, 2021 is when Yakuza Like a Dragon comes to the PS5.
Okay.
So a couple months away, but not too bad. All right, speaking of PS5, Dominic, we got their kind of exclusive lineup here. We got Astro's Playroom, of course, which comes with the system, which is nice. We got Demon's Souls. That's getting some pretty positive buzz. I've been watching some videos of that. It looks extremely good.
It does look good.
Not necessarily a game that I want to play. But with the faster frame rate, or at least what appears to me as a faster frame rate, it feels like it's got a faster gameplay and it looks more intriguing to me. Maybe I have to just go back and look at some of those other games, but that's what it feels like it is to me, is like maybe it's just like higher frames and makes it look smoother and quicker.
And they still can't make Bloodborne with 60 frames per second, like even on the PS5 version.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the problem with those systems and, like, these upgrades so far without having, like, actual upgrades to the software so far is, like, there were so many games that they started to lock the frame rate at 30 that now that's a disadvantage because, like, I think it's Last Guardian, I think, is one of the games that I saw most recently people talking about where it's, like, the original release of that game had an unlocked frame rate, but I guess they were having issues with it, so they locked it at 30, so it was consistent. So now if you have an unpatched version of that game on disc, you can put it in your PS5 and not connect it to the internet, and you can play an unlocked version of that game. Yeah, it's just like this is... It's so absurd. I forget what game it was.
And I think you just patch it back in then.
Exactly. So, but that's the problem, right? Is like it requires additional work. So, we'll probably see, I would say, a fair amount of these games, especially things that are like first party games. Like Last Guardian, I wouldn't be surprised if it gets an upgrade relatively quickly to.
No, they're not going to do it. They're going to re-release it again.
Yeah.
HD remastered.
I wouldn't entirely be surprised with Sony's track record. Hopefully not, though. Hopefully, at least for the first year or so, we see upgrades to these things and not, hey, we're trying to cash in on this again. After a year, though, I would say it's pretty much open season, and then that's when we're going to start seeing stuff like that. All right, we also got Sackboy: A Big Adventure. That's out on the PS5 and PS4. Sounds like that's respectable. Nothing.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Nothing
too
mind-blowing, but all right, solid game, so good on them. Spider-Man Miles Morales, of course, we talked about that earlier, PS4 and PS5. I'm going to try and get in some time with that, hopefully today. I hadn't even had it downloaded, and when I started it last night, it was taking forever to go, so I was like, it didn't seem like it was moving at all at first. I was like, do I not have the room on my hard drive? And I went through and deleted some more stuff, but I think I had plenty of room. It was just chugging away. So
yeah, we'll see. What I did was I just put my Ethernet cord in the bag.
Yeah,
that's
my problem is I don't have internet. I don't have wired internet anywhere near my computer. I actually need to get into the basement and run plugs around. I've actually got to add some power plugs around here too. Like right now, my computer is about 5 foot away from the nearest plug. So I've got a nice bright orange extension cord running from there to my computer setup. So I got to try and punch some holes in some walls and some molding. Get into the basement. At least I have the ability, like on the first floor, I have the ability to just kind of get to the places from the basement. But like everything upstairs is like, I can't do anything without destroying walls and all sorts of other stuff. So
messy. I'm watching my dad do that stuff, man.
Yeah.
Bring wires up to my room. Like
that was always like the exciting thing about owning a house was like, oh, I can run Ethernet to every room. And then you're like,
yeah,
here at least it's like one, they're plaster walls. So it's a complete pain in the ass. You know, it's not just, oh, cut out a piece of drywall and patch it back up. It's like,
yeah, drywall is just so much.
Do I want to deal with destroying the plaster and then filling in the space with drywall? Do I want to replaster it, which it just seems like a nightmare? And there's a couple of things around the house that I need to get into walls to fix. Like I have a light that I think I'm pretty much going to have to rewire to actually get it working because it was wired up using the old pre-existing, like, it just garbage wiring. And it's like, well, it doesn't work anymore. And there's power coming into the switch that's full power. But by the time it gets to the lights, the actual light fixture, the power, you know, the voltage isn't there. So I'm guessing that somewhere along the line, there's something up with the cable. So it's like, oh, shit. But like, I have to get into the wall to either rewire it or, you know, because all the things are stapled, so I couldn't even, like, tie the wire to the existing wire and pull the wire out the other end. So projects that sit unfinished, Dominic, that's how that happens. They become too complicated, and you're like, fuck it for now. So Miles Morales, hoping to play that sometime soon, definitely before the next podcast. Spider-Man Remastered, that's now out on the PS5. Crashing PS5s, as we talked about, so maybe be careful with that. And Godfall, that's out on the PS5 and the PC. That's not getting stellar reviews that I've seen.
I watched some review of, watched some gameplay on Twitch of that, because I was curious what it looked like. And it kind of reminds me like a 3D Diablo, maybe. Like if Diablo was, like, well, that was 3D, but, like, down on the ground and you're behind, like, third-person view.
Yeah, I can see that.
But, I mean, yeah, it's just a looter. It's not a looter shooter, but I guess it's a looter game because you're not shooting. You're using a sword. I mean, it looks good. Like, visually, it looks good. I mean, the environments I've seen, but everybody's in armor. Like, I don't see any human faces. Like, yeah. Everybody's just kind of stink armor, and it's just, I don't know. I guess you have to play it, but it's not really bringing anything. Like, to me, it's just, I'm not seeing anything that really grabs me. Like, I need to play this game. Like, I can go play Destiny or Anthem or something. Play one of these free games I got here.
Exactly. All right. Speaking of free games, we also got Bug Snacks for the PC, PS4, and PS5, which is available as part of PlayStation Plus for PS5 only, unfortunately. I mean, it's cool that they're giving away a PlayStation 5 game, but it's unfortunate that you can't do it for PS4. But you can activate it in your library on the website, so if you eventually get a PS5, you can have access to this game, which is nice, because I was a little worried that they were going to make it so you could only add it to your library on the PS5. So it was like, hey, yeah, you either own a PS5 and you get this for PlayStation Plus, or you don't. So
I'm glad they do that for the other ones, though. Don't they do that for the like God of War and that big PlayStation Plus list of free games? Don't you have to have a PS5 to do that?
I think you do, but I don't. Yeah. I'm not sure how that stuff even works. If it's like because an ownership thing, or if it's like this is the library of those games.
I think either Nimble or somebody else. I don't know. It was Wario64 or Nimble. Mm-hmm. On Twitch that said this, that if you have a friend that has PS5, they can
sign you in and
can get those games, and you can play them on your PS4.
Okay. Shit.
But you have to have someone to log in your PS5 to do that. Gotcha. And I was like, damn, really? I said, damn, you can't just freaking go online and do it. God damn it. Yeah. I guess that's a smart on them to do that. I mean,
absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. But I still hate it.
I'm right there with you. I'm trying to stay away from, like, it was nice being away from stuff this past week, because like I wasn't really on my phone too much. I wasn't on my computer, because like now coming back to it and like seeing just the consoles in the back of people's like backgrounds, I'm like, oh man, that thing looks so cool. And like, I would really like to play Miles Morales looking the best it could, even though I'm not playing it the best I could because I don't have the best television or whatever, which is a whole nother thing, because like the one thing I did keep seeing this week was like, oh, $200 fucking 4K HDR television. Obviously not the best one, but like 65 inch. And it's like fucking $200 for one of these TVs now. Like, this is a hell of a deal.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. But it's just that way that people keep telling me is like, oh, you need a certain HDMI port.
And you need 2.1 for, but that's really only, well, I say really only, but that's for like, if you want 4K and more than 60 frames.
Yeah. Which, 120, yeah.
A lot of these games, you're already starting to see it. Like Miles Morales has a performance mode and a nice looking graphics mode, where the nice looking graphics mode has the ray tracing where you can see yourself in the building windows and stuff like that, or the performance mode that turns that stuff off. So it's like you're already starting to see trade-offs, and I'm like, I do like high frame rate, but at the same time, when you're seeing things like to that level of
yeah, I'm thinking
depth,
I want
and detail.
Some people like performance more.
Yeah.
I guess it all depends on the game. It really all depends. Mm-hmm. Like Miles Morales, like Spider-Man, I think I will want detail.
Mm-hmm.
I think I want detail of that game. Now, if I'm playing a game like, I don't know, I'm trying to think of an example.
Yeah, Doom, maybe?
Yeah, maybe Doom.
Or just because of how fast-paced it is.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe performance would be better. Or like some type of shooters that's not really...
Like a racing game, maybe?
Oh, yeah, even that. Yeah, maybe performance would be better. Maybe I don't care about detail. Or, like, I'll flip it on and off and just see, like, is detail really a big deal? Me playing this game?
I was watching Giant Bomb play Demon's Soul, and they, I think, started with performance mode on, and they turned on graphics mode, and it's like, you didn't really see much of a difference, or maybe it was the other way around. Either way, like, you didn't see a difference between the two. But like the one mode, it was like, oh, but it runs weirdly worse, even though you don't really see a huge difference between them. So maybe I'm going to leave this mode on, you know?
Yeah.
And that's kind of what worries me about like these consoles with like having these options already. Like you were supposed, consoles are supposed to be simplistic. I don't want to have to choose. I don't want to have to go into the options, turn on, turn off, turn on. Do I like this like this? Do I like this like that? Like I get that from PC gaming, which I don't like either. And that's why like part of me is just like, I'm going to go into GeForce Experience. I'm going to click the optimize button and then it's going to give me the best settings. And then if it's not running to my satisfaction, like the frame rate's a little slower than I think it should be, I'll turn, you know, the water reflections or whatever down a little bit. But like consoles, I just want them to work and I want them to look as nice as you're going to be able to make them look while also performing at the level I want them to perform at. So like if you're aiming for your game to be 120 frames per second, I'm going to understand that the game's not going to quite look as good as something that's aiming for 60 frames per second or something like that, right? Like
yeah.
Take that decision off of my plate and from your game design, you know, background, make that decision for me.
Exactly. I feel you on that. I mean, I know some people do want choice though. Some people they want the choice to do it. But I feel like I want, tell me what the developer wants. Like most of the developer team, what do they prefer? And that's the mode I'm gonna play it on.
Exactly.
That's the mode like I'm personally gonna play it on. Now if you give me a choice, but I wish it was like, hey, developers prefer this. And I say, okay, then that's the mode.
Yeah.
Then I'll just play it like that. But yeah, I feel you on that. Yeah.
All right. We also got Devil May Cry 5 Special Edition. That's out on the Xbox Series X and the PS5.
Yeah.
We got Dirt 5, Xbox Series X, PlayStation 5. We also got Overcooked All You Can Eat, which has all the Overcooked. What's that?
Okay. Go ahead. Keep going.
Oh. Yeah, Overcooked All You Can Eat has all the Overcooked 1, Overcooked 2 DLC stuff mixed in there. And that's okay. For the Series X and the PS5.
I don't remember hearing about this.
Yeah, they just announced it, I feel like, a little bit ago. But yeah, that's cool that they're just, you know, one nice little package.
But it's all it's just on those two systems. So.
Yeah, it's just the next gen ones.
But that's good because Overcooked 1 wasn't online. Multiplayer.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So that should be good.
That's good that they did that. Yeah.
Yeah. You also got Planet Coaster Console Edition. That's finally out.
That's cool.
On PS4, PS5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series X. And that's also a part of Game Pass. So you check that out.
I just don't have no time to play a game like that.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate. Like I wanted this years ago, but now I just have no time to play a game like this.
I hear you. We also got Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War for the PC, PS4, PS5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series X.
Dang, no Switch version. Can I get a Switch version?
Nope, no Switch version. No, I'm a little bit surprised there's not at least like a Call of Duty on the Switch.
Yeah, like something, like something. Some version of it, you know?
Yeah.
Because they did that for the Wii.
I was going to say, there's been one for like the Wii, the 3DS, the Vita. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised by that. And then, of course, Dominic, we've got Assassin's Creed Valhalla. That's out on the PC, PS4, PS5, Xbox One, Xbox Series X, and even fucking Google Stadia. So anywhere you could want to play Assassin's Creed, it's getting pretty solid reviews. I know you were telling me there's kind of like a little bit of like one guy you were hearing say like, it's not that great. And one guy that's like, this is the best Assassin's Creed ever.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know who's wrong. I have to try it myself. because I feel like, I mean, I liked Odyssey. So if it's something similar to that, I mean, I know this is the Origins team that worked on it. I didn't play Origins, so but if it's just similar to Odyssey, but they say to fix some of the problems that were in the previous one, we'll see. While that one reviewer who did like it said that he feels that they didn't fix those problems, that it's still tedious.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I don't know if that tedium, because I did feel like Odyssey did get old. It got old, but I went through it and I still beat it. But and the story has really kept me going, I believe. It's not that the combat was bad. It was just the missions got a little tedious. It kind of to be the same, and the viewer said that it does get here too. So,
yeah.
While the other reviewers said it felt like it was more variety. So I'm like, somebody is off then.
I mean, that those kind of things, like, almost they're pretty, you know, personal. Like, oh,
yeah,
I might think that this is going on too long and doesn't respect my time, whereas, like, you might, like, oh yeah, I liked all these side quests, and, you know, it might just be chalked up to, like, a difference of personality kind of thing.
Yeah, maybe it is. Yeah, it's got to be. But I do see scores of other sites where they gave a decent score, so it seems like this is done well. I just want to know what people feel about Ghost of Tsushima compared to this. Do they think Ghost of Tsushima is better or Assassin's Creed Valhalla is better?
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder. Because it definitely, like, when it first came out, it sounded like Ghost of Tsushima was maybe, like, comparable to a last-gen Assassin's Creed almost. Like, they were following in the footsteps of something that had already been passed and we had already evolved away from. So I wonder.
And I also wonder, because the guy on Game Informer said that somewhat like Ghost of Tsushima, it's not a whole bunch of minutia or worthless side quests to do in Assassin's Creed Valhalla. So I'm curious, because I'm like, that's not the kind of Ubisoft game I know.
It's
usually a lot of worthless stuff.
A lot of superfluous garbage.
Yeah.
So, absolutely.
I guess we'll see whenever I get my hands on this game.
Yep. All right, Dominic, you got anything else for the week?
Nah, that's it, man.
All right. In that case, thank you guys as always for listening. You check us out on Twitter. Dominic is at DStalworth5. I'm at RegulusMB. The podcast is at SuperPod, SupaPod. SuperPod.com is the website. It's got all the podcasts there, as well as all links to the place you can find us. iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Spotify, a ton of other places for the podcast, as well as YouTube. We've been getting videos up there as well. Dominic's been posting the actual episodes. If you want to watch them there as well, he's putting gameplay behind them, so it's very cool to kind of see some of the things we talk about.
And in this one, I'm going to have Spider-Man, Miles Morales, and I put some of the Star Wars, since you were playing it, I just want to try to put it up there. But
Nice. Actually,
I don't know, because she didn't play it this week.
Not
so
good.
I might, yeah, so I'll put it up there next week then.
Okay.
I might put some Tetris Connected up there.
There we go. That would be nice, just because the visuals and the sounds and whatnot. So, yeah. All right. Thank you, guys. Talk to you next week.
All right. See you.